God bless white America.
Skip to the end.
Welcome to episode 103 of the Skip to the End podcast. As ever, I'm Ben.
I'm Gemma.
And I'm missing Benny.
Yes, I'm missing too.
Yes.
The response to Benny's appearance on the last episode has been massive, hasn't it?
Gargantuan.
Gargantuan, indeed.
I want to say it now, and we probably shouldn't until we actually ask him, but I'm going to say Benny's coming back.
Yes.
I think so.
We don't know when.
No.
But he's always welcome.
Yeah. If he can pull himself away from Ocean Colour Scene long enough, he is
I don't know.
Welcome back, of course.
And we joke, but you saw the picture of his Coldplay t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing is he's got a matching hoodie, he's got sweatbands, he's got a hat. He looks like John Cena, but like Coldplay version.
Yeah.
So yeah, we miss you, Benny.
Yeah, it's a strong look. Obviously, this show's not going to be as good as the last one with no Benny, but let's tell them what we've got coming up.
So our main review, we did say on the last episode it was going to be the Happy Time Murders. Nah, fob that off. This time around, we're going to be watching Spike Lee's latest film, Black Klansman.
Our topic this time around is our top three movie endings, and I will happily say it's probably the biggest choice of stuff we've ever had to do on this episode. And on this podcast, yeah.
And weirdly the toughest. You've got so much to choose from, but it's so hard to narrow it down.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I'm very interested in what you've both got to bring to the table.
Absolutely. And our rewatch this time round is sci-fi comedy Attack the Block.
We're going to be playing the third and final round of our now popular game show, Trailer Trash. It's going to be myself versus that lad over there, Mark.
I'm excited.
Me too.
It doesn't really matter as well because Ben's already won.
I know, we're just playing this for funsies.
Yeah. That'll be all right. And we're also going to be masturbating over Francis Ford Coppola.
Well done.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
He's nailed it.
And I'm looking forward to masturbating over him.
Again? Got his gender correct. Well
this
done.
Is it.
Two out of two.
What a start.
And we'll have all the usual goodies you're used to from the Skip to the End podcast. We'll give you our pop culture recommendations of the week. And we're going to give away an absolute metric fuck ton of prizes.
Guys, I've got a bit of an announcement.
Here
and it's quite a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a couple of episodes ago, it was the big 100.
Yep.
Yeah.
Last week, it was the big four-year anniversary.
Yeah, what's it this time?
It's our 8th million download last week.
Yay!
Let's toast to that.
Indeed.
Right.
Good old brother's cider.
Oh, yeah.
Come
on,
come
on. Well done, guys.
Here's
to the next
brothers.
8 million.
8 million. That's insane.
This tastes good today. I don't know if it's because I've not been drinking for a while, but that tastes really good.
Yeah.
Get it down here.
Brother's cider. Available at all supermarkets right now.
8 million.
Oh, yeah, sorry, let's
get back on track. That's crazy, isn't it?
It is good. I forgot 7 million as well. You know, we always do it on our social media.
Yeah,
we forgot.
Oh, no.
Completely forgot.
So can we celebrate both 7 and 8 million?
Hey! Oh,
yeah.
Should we get pissed today?
I'm up for that.
It's a bank holiday.
Oh, let's get started.
Right then, guys, to start the show, it's going to be the end, which is weird for us, isn't it? The top three endings of all time in cinema history.
Wow.
Might you say that right now we're going to skip to the end?
I like, yeah. Or we skip to the end.co.uk.
Yeah, even better.
But the topic is very, very simple, but a very hard one to kind of cut down to three. I think this should have been a top five. Back in the old days, we used to do top fives. But we can't because we've got so much good stuff now. So we have to trim it down. So let's get things started. Ben, give me your first one from your top three of all time endings.
Has to be The Godfather.
Whoa!
Oh, my Lord.
Nice. He's gone big already.
Oh, man. Go big or go home. So in The Godfather, Michael Corleone, played by Al Pacino, he calls for a hit on his sister's traitorous husband, Carlo. And then his wife, Kay, asks him about it. She says, Michael, did you call this hit? And he lies to her face. He says, no. And this really cements his turn to the dark side. But this is represented visually so beautifully. Kay walks out of his office, and then you see him in his office door, framed by the doorway. A few of his capos come in the side door. They hug him. They kiss his ring. Say nothing, Mark.
Very well.
And then Kay just stares at him through the door with this look in her eyes. It's when she knows she's lost her husband. She knows he's fully gone to the dark side. He's never going to be the man that she fell in love with. And then one of the capos just slowly closes the door. and it's an amazing visual. It's been parodied and copied so many times throughout the last, 40 years or whatever it is. It's just so cool. It encapsulates the distance between Michael and Kay, that he'll never be that innocent, honest man he once was. She is now literally and figuratively shut out from that side of his life. It's just brilliant. It's flawless.
Remember when we did the rewatch for Godfather 2?
Yeah.
Remember what I said on it?
That you hadn't seen it?
I've not seen Godfather 1.
Yeah.
Oh my
cheers, dude. You twat. Sorry. Oh, shit. We should have given a big old spoiler alert, shouldn't we? Because this is just going to be pure spoilers, this whole topic.
Whoops.
I promised the best man at my wedding one day we'd sit down with whiskey and do the trilogy in one sitting, and I've not done it yet. It's something, Ben, you should join us. We should do one day. And I'm really looking forward to watching them all, because everyone said the third one is wank.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But I don't need to watch the first one.
Wouldn't bother.
But it sounds good. And now I know where all these, like homages are that I've seen in film. Now I know where it's from. Yeah. But I'll forget. It's cool.
You will forget. That's fine. Pooch, you've seen it though, surely.
Of course I have. I love the symbolism with oranges throughout the whole film. And it's synonymous with death. But that ending, it's so artistic.
Yeah.
It really is. It's like seeing a piece of fine art that's from a very famous artist from 200 years ago and appreciating it.
It's That's beautiful. Exactly it.
It's beautiful.
Mm. I want to see it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll just bring it as a rewatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you say you watch a lot of things and you don't.
This is one that I want to watch as a trilogy. I want to sit there and watch all three in one go.
Okay.
You need to top that now.
I'll give it a bloody good go. My first choice is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, one that's your personal favourite?
It is one of my favourite films of all time, and it stars Jack Nicholson as Randall McMurphy. So I'm going to skip to the end because we've already done a rewatch. We've spoken about this in past episodes. At the end, him and his mate, the Chief, they're going to be hatching a plan to escape this horrific institution that they're holed up in. But on the night of this deed, the Chief suffers a devastating blow. He finds out that his mate Randall has had a lobotomy. So he's in a very vegetative state. So rather than leave him on his own, he says he's going to set him free, as they talked about, and proceeds to smother him with a pillow. So he's metaphorically released him. Cut to the Chief. He goes to the bathroom, lugs out this big, heavy-ass water fountain, chucks it through the window, and then runs free physically, spiritually, physically.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Meeting together.
Synergy.
Thank you very much. Yes! But it's such an overwhelming ending, and with the whole thing about characters developing and growing and learning, it's a gorgeous end to an already classic film.
It is absolutely brilliant. It's perfect. You've now just got me thinking about the lobotomy scene, and it just makes me want to weep.
It's so sad and depressing.
Yeah.
But it just completely loses the whole character of who Randall was, and he was ready to start changing his ways, and then that bitch Ratchet came along and fucked it all up.
And then when he escapes, there's that the famous music from the film, which I'm not going to try
with
and
like
represent.
Like a theremin.
Yeah. Oh, I love that
with
music.
With like the beats of like this sort of drum, and oh, it's beautiful.
That's all I was doing. While you're describing it in my head, I'm like...
I thought it sounded like Coronation Street.
Amazing. How am I going to top this? You just set the bar too high.
Come on.
Six words. Smile, you son of a bitch. Jaws. Bang.
I'm just counting. It is six.
Yes. Let's be honest about it. This has to be mentioned. It is my favourite film of all time. But that gas canister's in his mouth. He's chewing it. Brody's on his own. He's lost Quint, the man that took them out to sea. We always thought Quint's going to be the hero. If anyone's going to bring that shark back, it's him. His entrance with the chalkboard, he's the guy. Nope, he's dead. Hooper, at this point, we think is dead because he's underwater still. We think he's gone. He's on his own. He's got that gun. He's only got one shot left. We see him chewing this bloody gas canister. He looks up. You have that one shot of his face. And then we just see it blow up way over the top. Spielberg did too much blood at that point. It looks like a killer whale. It can't just be a shark. The amount of like skin and actual flesh is ridiculous. It's way too much, but I don't care. It's the end of that bastard shark that's terrorized Amity Island for the last few weeks. It's fucking awesome. It makes the hair stick up on my neck every time I watch it, even though I've watched it about 500 times. And I'm always like, it's that jump out your seat. Yes, Brody, yes! And I love it.
I agree with you entirely, yeah. I'm slightly annoyed, though, because I purposefully didn't pick Blade Runner for this. I thought, no, let's not pick the films that we talk about all the time, and then Mark brings Jaws anyway. But you're absolutely right. It is one of the best film endings to an absolutely terrific film all the way through. I loved it.
Oh, it's such a badass way to go, though, eh?
It is, and the fact is then we get the nice moment where he's there going, yes, yes, he's so happy, and then we have Hooper join him again. He comes up, and they both just got on that bit of, like, raft, and they just kind of... What's the word when you're just doing that with your legs?
Paddle.
Paddle.
Yeah, swim. Lift.
Yes. The little hand movement.
Yes. And they're just paddling off, and the music comes down, and it's just going off back to where they came from, and it's beautiful. What a great ending. What a great film.
Oh, man. So good.
Ben's now going to go with Blade Runner.
I haven't written any notes for it. Oh, wait. I think I know it off the top of my head.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Come on then, what have you got?
I'm going with The Departed.
Oh, he's gone so big.
So you've got Billy Costigan, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. He's a Boston cop who's infiltrated the Irish mob. He then manages to capture Colin Sullivan, played by Matt Damon, who's an Irish mobster undercover in the Boston police. Just as it looks like the good guy has won, another undercover mobster arrives and kills Costigan. And you're like, fuck me, that's a hell of an ending. Oh no, that ain't the ending. So even though DiCaprio's dead, even though the hero's dead and you think the bad guys have won, there's more to come. So Sullivan, Matt Damon, he then walks into his apartment, not a care in the world, la-di-da-di-da. But then he finds waiting for him another cop, Dignam, played by Mark Wahlberg, who cocks his gun, bang, shoots him in the head, dead. And it's that kind of double twist. You don't see DiCaprio's death coming because that comes out of nowhere. And then you think it's over. And then boom, Matt Damon's dead as well. Because Marky Mark shoots him in the fucking face.
Oh,
it's so good. It's stunning in the literal dictionary definition sense of that word. A stunning ending to a stunning film.
Yeah, they are dead.
Do you know what? Everyone I speak to always says to me that film is a masterpiece. It's one of the best films ever. Mm. Scorsese nails it, everyone. But not enough people have seen it or talk about it. It's weird. Like, when you are talking to people, have you seen Leonardo DiCaprio? Oh, yeah, I love him in this. Have you seen him in The Departed? No, I've never watched that. I think more people need to jump on board and watch this film. I don't know if it just went under the radar, something else came out the same year.
Yeah.
But not enough people, when you talk to me, like, yeah, I know what you mean. It's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I mentioned before about how it came out the same year as Blood Diamond.
Oh, that was it.
And more people have seen DiCaprio in that, and he was nominated for an Oscar for that, even though this was by far the better film for me.
Blood Diamond's overrated. I'm going to say it now.
Yeah, but Scorsese got the Oscar for this film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least there was some justified...
There was some justice.
Yes, there was some justice in the world. That has to be a rewatch as well.
Yeah. Big
I want to kind of now announce it today because it's my rewatch choice, but we've just talked about it.
But that ending, it's just one of those that knocks you on your ass because you don't see it. And again, it's not quite to the same level as Jaws, but it's another kind of pump your fist moment because you're glad that Damon bites it in the end, because even though you've kind of grown to like him a little bit, he's still an arsehole, he's still a scumbag, and he got what he deserved.
I was just about to say, he got what had coming.
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. Come on, you now need to pick something we're going to jump up and punch the air.
Well, you and me might, Mark. I don't think Ben's going to.
Oh, what we got?
La La Land.
Oh, I've got it.
Yeah! Oh, yeah.
Couple of wankers.
Yes! How wonderful is this film? Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling, Damien Chazelle equals magic. This is one of the greatest 21st century films of all time. Would you agree, Mark?
I think we should let Ben go to the toilet now.
Shall we?
We'll just sit here and talk about it for 10 minutes and then he can come back.
Can we?
Yeah, I agree, though. Unbelievable.
The ending divides a lot of people when they see it. Some people really like it. Some people feel cheated. And other people couldn't care less. They think it's a bit too much for what it is. But the ending, Mia and Sebastian, they lock eyes for the first time in 5 years in Sebastian's jazz club. Then we're catapulted back to when they first meet each other. Rather than brush past her, he decides he's going to kiss her. And we have this beautiful alternative ending. Everything's gone right. There's no disappointments whatsoever. There's no tears, no pain. They're realising their success. They get married. They have a kid. But then it's not to be. They are back at the club in their original positions. And they have to live with the fact that they are where they are. They've made their own choice and they're not together. But in a bittersweet moment, they look one last time. They give each other a little nod, a little smile. The end.
Ben pukes.
Shame.
But Mark, tell me why you enjoy this ending so much.
My notes are, it's the bullseye of endings. So remember when you used to watch Bullseye with Jim Bowen?
Always.
Right.
And he says, right, here we go. And you go and throw your darts on Buddy's prize board. You win like a... You win like a Hoover, you win like a set of glasses,
Or a tease
and a
made.
Microwave.
Yeah,
a tease made. They were awesome.
Bit cutlery too.
Yeah, a little radio from Candy.
Always Candy.
That was always good.
That's Candy.
And then you risk it. You risk it all. They're gone now. There's no point in plugging them. But they risk it all for what's behind Bully's prize board.
Yeah.
And The worst part is they always ask this one non-darts player to try and throw three darts to get 101.
Yeah, like Julie from
Preston. And he misses the board most times. He's an absolute, you know, ridiculous. The good player comes in, does what he can. He can't get 101. They've lost everything, like La La Land. But what happens? Let's see what you could have won. Mm-hmm. And he brings out a speedboat when you live in bloody York. And the worst part is you can't even have it. Take it back. And that's exactly what they do in this film. Look how good it is with Mia. Look how good it is with Sebastian. They're made for each other. They should be together. You even get to see them painting the nursery in her dungarees. All of the children, everything. It's the perfect romance we all dream of every day. Nope. Take it back. Take it back right now. You're not having that speedboat. You're not having the love story. You're going to sit there and you're going to just stick with this other guy you're not even interested in, who's a knobhead. And Ryan,
I don't like
you're
him
stuck
at all.
On the piano and all you get is that look of, you could have had it, but you can't.
only on the Skip to the End podcast will you get a 5-minute rant comparing La La Land to Bullseye.
We miss you, Jim Bowie.
R.I.P.
But it breaks my heart, and it's I know, Ben, you're against any emotions or love or anything.
It's devoid of feeling.
But I do remember you said if they didn't have music in this film, it was pretty good.
It was an incredibly well-made film and a very well-acted film, but I'm glad they weren't happy at the end because they don't deserve happiness.
Whoa! Oh my God. Ben Land. They kill each other. But yeah, I can't ever get enough of this film. I think it's one of the best made movies of the last 10 years. The love story is unbelievable. And I just love the characters. I love Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling's chemistry. I saw it in Crazy Stupid Love. Mm-hmm. And they've just... I'd be worried if I was married to them. I'd be like, those two look too happy on screen together. They look too good. In everything they ever do, you think they should be married in real life.
Yeah, it's the natural chemistry. It just works.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the one film I haven't seen with them is it Gangster Squad?
Not great.
Squad.
No,
yeah.
don't worry about that.
So that's why I don't want it to tarnish this love story. Mm. It's all right for me at the moment. So, Ben, you haven't got La La Land.
Surprisingly not, no.
He's going to be like Terminator now. So,
although, from one land to another, I've got Copland.
Oh,
what a
Lord.
Fucking great film.
Which is a tremendous film and is, by a distance, my favourite movie ending of all time. So for those of you who are not familiar, which is most people because not many people have seen this film, Sylvester Stallone plays a character called Freddie Helfin. He's a schlubby, partially deaf sheriff of a small New Jersey town, and his disability prevented him from getting into the NYPD. He then finds out that all the NYPD cops who live in his town are corrupt. So he tries to involve the authorities, including an internal affairs officer played by Robert De Niro, and he wants De Niro to come down and clamp down on all these corrupt officers. De Niro's not interested. At the end of the film, Freddie decides to take matters into his own hands. He manages to break into this house, kill all the corrupt cops, and rescue this guy called Babbage, who's a witness to the corruption that the cops were going to kill. He's gunshot, he's covered in blood, he's deaf, but he still manages to take down all the bad guys, save Babbage, and drag him into the NYPD headquarters against all the odds. And again, going back to the pumping your fist, jumping up and down, I'm pretty sure I shouted, "Fuck yeah," when I saw this.
Fuck yeah!
And I was in the cinema. I wasn't. It's just such a spectacular ending. And the thing is, if you haven't seen this film, you're thinking, well, that probably sounds like a typical Stallone ending. You know, he's the big tough guy, he's Rambo. But he's not. Freddie Helfin isn't Rambo. He's this overweight, underlooked, disrespected guy. He's the last guy you would expect to have this kind of heroic moment. He barely gets out alive, but he does get out and he succeeds. The underdog wins. And it's a sign of how great this film is and how great Stallone is in this film that he outacts everyone on screen. And De Niro's in it, Harvey Keitel's in it, Ray Liotta's in it, but it is Stallone's movie and the ending fucking rules.
Oh God, I love an underdog story, I really do. I love it when the guy that really gets shit on for all the time and then finally he gets that moment of just, it's their moment.
I fucking love Copland, and it's now up there with The Thing, Blade Runner, and Jaws in the most things we can get into topics
for
Ben.
Yes, yes, yes.
There's so many good ones.
Very
but
true.
When you think, like, Stallone, a lot of people kind of just take the piss out of him as an actor because he did a lot of shit in the like, 90s and stuff, but he is unbelievable. I wish he didn't do stuff like The Expendables. Like, I saw the trailer the other day for Creed 2, and I'm thinking, he's going to be back. He's going to show why he's worthy, because Copland was just... didn't he actually not get paid for it? He just took whatever it's called.
He took scale, which is basically Hollywood minimum wage.
Yeah, because he believed in it that much.
Exactly, yeah.
Just to make the film.
Just to make the film.
What a hero.
He should have won every Oscar going out here.
And people overlooked him. No, he wasn't nominated. I think he was nominated for some of the smaller fringe awards, but didn't get in Oscar contention because people were like, well, it's Stallone. How can we possibly vote for Stallone for a Best Actor Oscar? It's crazy, but it was totally deserved. Yeah. He was unreal.
He beat De Niro.
He was better than De Niro and Keitel in that film.
Says a lot, really.
Extraordinary. Mm.
Another one we should do is a rewatch.
Yes.
Even though you talk about it a lot, I do want to.
I've covered the beginning, the middle, the end, the twist, this, that, the other.
We'll just go and score it.
Yeah. Brilliant. Last one for you.
Is it?
No more duplicates for me, please.
Okay, I'll try my best. Friday the 13th, part one.
Oh, no, a bit of horror.
Yeah. This is one of my favourite horror films of all time, and every time it's Halloween season, this is the first film I watch. It also enunciates the final girl in horror films. She's always the one that's left, right, you know, bloodied and battered and bruised. So she goes, Alice, sorry, I should really say the name of the lady, Alice.
Who the fuck's Alice?
So Alice, she survives all the carnage. She sees all of her mates get brutally slaughtered, and we find out the main killer, believe it or not, is a little old lady. Whoops.
Shock.
I'll have to take your word for it. I've never seen it.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
You'd hate it.
Yeah, about 5'2", yay high. So Alice is seen going into a canoe. She drifts off into the lake. You know, she's had a bloody heavy night of, you know, running away from psychopathic killers. And she's in a state of bliss. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this deformed being that's all burnt and scarred violently jumps out of the water and drags her in. And it's one of the most shocking, jolting style of endings I've ever seen. When I first saw it, I literally jumped out of my skin.
No, you didn't.
Honestly, literally.
Literally jumped out of her skin.
It's physically possible.
Not a chair, her skin. Yeah. She's a snake.
Yep. I went, ooh.
And then got back in it.
Yeah.
Figuratively, perhaps.
Didn't happen.
I don't know, I've got pictures. But it was such a shock to see her, see the person that you were thinking was going to be making it all the way to the end, being dragged into a watery grave. But turns out she's just having a dream. She's fine. And of course, that opened the floodgates for a million different Jason films. Shame. But still, really great ending.
So hold on, it was all a dream?
Well, no. Well, her in the canoe, because obviously she was suffering from some kind of PTSD.
Right.
But, you know, she went through it all, but she's obviously not being dragged into a watery grave.
You're not selling me on this, to be fair.
You've got to try and make Ben go out and buy the whole box set of all 26 of them.
He's never going to do that. Come on. I know that.
As far as horrors go, there's a reason why it's a classic, like Nightmare on Elm Street. You always hear, don't you? Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's the iconic ones, and that is a great ending, because it does. If you didn't know about it, it rips your fucking balls off.
Well, I wouldn't know.
Literally?
I watched it and my balls dropped off.
Right?
Yes. I think what makes the best ending is something that's left open for me. Okay? So you're watching a film and you can take your own kind of spin on it.
Okay.
Mac and me. We'll be back. You know what I mean? Oh, will they, won't they? Oh, that's not my final choice. Don't worry.
That is a shame.
Yes. Whiplash.
Yeah.
So this film is edgy. It's tense throughout. I think tense is probably the least word you should use. It's something bigger than that. Mm-hmm. It's my heart race for the last half an hour of this film. My God, like Miles Teller, I don't rate as a great actor. I don't know why.
I agree with you.
He's an arsehole.
But
he's
plays Andrew in this, and it's his best role he's ever done. Unlike J.K. Simmons, that's amazing in everything he's ever done, who plays Fletcher, who's this really over-the-top, strict instructor that wants the best from his jazz musicians. Mm-hmm. But this guy's a drummer, and he's never doing what he wants. He's never good enough. It's a bully. It's a bully way of trying to get him to be the best. But it works, because we get this final scene where he's running late. He wants to get to this final showdown for all these great musicians and great kind of A&Rs and all these people that are watching. He has his moment. He gets there. He's had a car crash, but he still makes it on time. And my God, we have about a 12-minute drum solo, which you would think, I'm going to get bored. I don't know if it's the editing, the directing, whatever's going on, I was glued. I remember with being in the cinema with you, and we were like...
Yeah.
What?
Tell me you were watching a film at the time.
But how does a film about jazz drumming get you going the way like a good thriller does? I don't understand how he pulled it off.
Chazelle, man, he is the one. But it goes on and on and on. And it is the editing, isn't it? You're seeing that snare, you're seeing the cymbals, and then it just ends and you're just exhausted. And he looks over and all we get is Fletcher just literally nod just to say, yep, that's enough. And it ends. And you're left there with your heart racing, you can't breathe, it feels like you've had an asthma attack, and you don't know what's just happened, but you are satisfied because he got to overcome that big bully, and it was all worth it. And it is another yes in a weird way.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
It's a masterpiece. And Damien Chazelle's got quite a bit of the skip to the end today, hasn't he, with La La Land and this, but he's a genius.
I was going to say, is that a Chazelle signature move? Just the nod, the...
Yeah.
There we go.
Well yeah. Done. That's it.
So is that what's going to happen in First Man? Yeah. We'll just see Neil Armstrong will just turn to the camera and do a slow nod.
To the moon.
Gets off the moon and just goes, yeah, and the moon just looks back and goes,
ta-da!
Yeah. I think that film is a masterpiece, and I think it was one of my film. I think it was one of the films of the year when it came out.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And La La Land was, so I'm really looking forward to his next one.
Yeah, First Man's going to be cool.
Don't fuck it up, man.
Yeah. Ryan's in it. Can't be bad.
Ryan does take me to the moon every day.
Right, let's move on.
Social media?
We can do that. So we're going to go to Twitter first. Brian at Boba Fett ate my TV. Huh? Back to the Future. There's a fucking flying DeLorean. So he says.
Yeah, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Yeah. THX1138, The Feeling of Freedom. I don't know what that is either.
What?
I know, THX.
Oh, the film. I thought that was his handle.
Yeah,
it's an old George Lucas film, isn't it? Yeah.
Very good.
Lovely stuff. And then his third choice, The Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me.
Oh, so good. I love John Hughes films.
Reese at Rubberja. Literally, that's what his handle says. The Prestige, Michael Caine's narration is perfect.
I thought you had this. Yeah. Mm.
The Hunt, an outstanding film, but the ending takes it to another level.
That film fucking owns.
Mads Mikkelsen, man.
It is the boss.
I'd love to hear what he has to say about that film in more detail.
Where could you find that?
MarkandMe.com right now.
He's bloody done it. And Rubberger's third choice is The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed when we did that as a rewatch.
Yeah, me too.
It's just been a bit tarnished now, hasn't
it? That's it. Again, it was another one I considered, but it's like, I don't want to give Spacey any airtime. No.
Because I want Seven, that, and you know what I mean? Yeah.
And so, that one where he played a cat or whatever it was.
Nine Lives. let's move swiftly on. Midlands Movies at Midlands Movies said Toy Story 3, Andy's Goodbye.
Yeah, very good.
The Italian Job, literal cliffhanger.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And cliffhanger, literal Italian stallion job.
Still owns the man.
Wordplay.
Part-time ninja at Bexmas said, Empire Strikes Back. The feeling that they're on the edge of failure right at the moment. You just want them to know, how are they going to turn it around?
Yeah. Stupendous ending.
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, all the greats. And then Seven. Mention the film and everyone automatically mentions the head in the box.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
That's a huge spoiler if no one's seen it.
Yeah. Well, this whole topic is, dude.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Then over to Facebook. Jane Moss said, The Shawshank Redemption. The Thing.
Yes.
Of course.
And La La Land.
Okay. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Rich Johnson said, The Red Turtle.
Is that the anime? One?
Good film.
I've not seen it.
Certainly
beautiful.
Is. Also, he said, Enemy.
Not Ooh, seen it.
It's like the only Villeneuve film I've still not seen.
Yeah, Ooh. And it's our matey boy...
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Why have we not seen that?
Gyllenhaal's crazy.
Fuck's sake.
We'll get that sorted. And then finally, Nocturnal Animals. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, that film gives me a panic attack.
That film blew you away, didn't it?
It did.
It didn't do a lot for me, but I found myself thinking about it quite a bit. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
Very gritty.
Very. And then finally, we're going to go to Instagram. Danny at DannyS1186 said, Fight Club.
Yep.
Yeah.
Inception.
Yeah.
Oh, that spinning top.
Is he in the real world? Is he not? And then finally, Revenge of the Sith. And he said, one of the best spoof movies I've ever seen. Very true.
Nice. So, whose topic is it next?
Me. A few episodes ago, we talked about those moments where the heel turns face. So I want to flip it on its backside. I want to talk about our top three betrayals.
Ooh, lovely. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love.
We've been to our local cinema to watch Black Klansman, the latest film directed by Spike Lee and starring John David Washington, Adam Driver, Laura Harrier and Topher Grace, to name a few. A dramatisation of real-life events, Ron Stallworth, an African-American police officer from Colorado, devises a plan to enter the world of the Ku Klux Klan with the help of a white surrogate. Now, before we start, we are going to be talking a lot about the film, the beginning, the middle, and most notably the end. So if you haven't yet seen the film, but you want to check out what our review is, skip to the end of this segment, times are all on the website, come back and see what you think. So, Mark, I want to start with you. What do you think of Black Klansman?
It's quite political, isn't it?
A bit, yeah.
The last time I went to the cinema and came away with not knowing much about a film, literally blew me away, was Free Fire.
Mm.
That's the last time I didn't know much.
Yeah,
I didn't know much about this because we only decided a couple of days ago we're going to change our main review. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was storytelling at its best. I thought it was a bit weirdly paced, but I absolutely loved it. And I've not stopped thinking about the film since I left the cinema two nights ago. So overall, I absolutely love it.
Ben, what are your thoughts?
I'm with Mark all the way. I'm not a Spike Lee fan. Generally, I think he has too many directorial tics and quirks, and his work tends to annoy me. This, for me, is the best thing he's ever done. It's unflinching. It pulls no punches. It's dark. It's brutal. And it uses a true story from 40 years ago to draw parallels to today and basically say, nothing's really changed. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed. It's a powerful, powerful film.
So Spike Lee was the winner for the grand prize of the jury at this year's Cannes Film Festival, and he received a 6-minute standing ovation after the premiere at the same festival. And I can see why, and I can confidently say this is now in my top 5 films of this year. Mm. It's an important film for the times we're living in, but it's also very watchable too. It's a dynamic story, great acting by all, but this is such an important film, and I am... Ben, I'm going to say thank you, because originally we were going to watch a pretty shit-looking film that was announced on the last episode. Thank you for suggesting we change it to this, because, my God, I want to talk about this so much.
Yeah, I've got a feeling there'll be slightly more important things to say about this than the Happy Time Murders.
Please. Or what was that one? The Spy...
Spy You Dumped
Doesn't
Me.
Matter. Fuck Doesn't me. Matter. Doesn't matter. Let's talk about this. So, I want to talk about the acting first and foremost, because, of course, that's what's made the film as it is.
Yep.
And I want to go straight to John David Washington, who plays Ron, the hero of the film. Now, he is Denzel Washington's son, for
which
those of you...
Which I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't either, to be honest. But, personally, I thought he played Ron with intelligence, with awareness, and I thought it was a really great acting performance from Washington.
I loved him. He was very quirky. And he's probably got the best voice in the business. Mm. I am absolutely in love with the way he talks. I didn't know until I literally did some research today that it's his son. So yeah. I like the fact that he's probably hopefully going to go off and not live on his dad's name, because he should win awards. He was absolutely phenomenal. He captured me in every scene he was in. I felt sorry for him. I always felt like I wanted him to do better. But he was also very cocky at the end, and he got what he wanted. He deserved it, and he got the payoff, because he knew what he had to do. He went in to get the job done. And he fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
So I'm so fucking... It's punch to the end today. But I was at the end when he got the payoff. I was like, yes! I'm so, so happy, because I fell in love with you in this film.
Yeah, I thought he was great. I'd never seen him in anything before. Apparently he stars in Ballers, the TV show, which I've never watched. I know our friend old Scott Plus One Higgins is a fan of Ballers.
He bloody loves Ballers.
But he loves it, but I've not seen it. But I really liked it. And I think Spike Lee did something really smart here. So the true events of this story actually took place, I believe, in 1979.
That's right.
But Lee brought the film forward a few years. He brought it to 1972. And it was so that he could then compare it to the blaxploitation films that are out around that time. So there are bits where the main character played by John David Washington, he's talking about Shaft and things like that. And I thought that was great, because you kind of see a little bit of Shaft in him. You know,
yeah.
He's got the cool early 70s. All right, Mark, again,
I do not want to imagine a Shaft in him. That's a different film you've seen, and that shouldn't be at the cinema.
It was good, though. 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I recognise him from.
But, you know, he's a gritty cop, and he's dealing with some really shitty situations. But he is cool. He is smooth. He's got the cool hair. He's got the old school leather jackets and stuff. And I really like that way he plays the role. He's so, so charming.
Yeah, and grounded too. Yeah. Grounded and likeable. If you're going to do a film that is going to be socially important like this film is, make sure the lead character is likeable, that the audience is on their side. And I was rooting for him the entire film, and the fact that he got his successes when he did, I was like, yes. You know, I wallowed in the bad times too with him. It wasn't fair. I felt there was a real injustice, but a bright future is going to be ahead for John David Washington.
Yeah, I
massive.
So. I thought he had a good little duo going with Adam Driver.
Yes.
I love Adam Driver, or Kylo Ren. I don't think he was given enough to do in this film. I don't think he was given enough to chew on. So Driver is the one who actually goes out and meets with the KKK and pretend he's doing the actual physical undercover work. And the way he was as the cop and the way he is as the undercover guy was basically the same.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a bit more dynamics there. I would like to see him modulate his performance a bit more. I don't think he did enough with it to show those two sides of him. But I always enjoy his work nonetheless.
Yeah, especially when he, you know, when he decided to kind of confront the fact that he denounced his own religion by saying the Holocaust never happened, or he was glad that it happened. And it was really a soul-crushing performance when he kind of admitted, you know, what am I doing?
I loved him. I thought it was probably his best performance I've seen ever on screen. I thought he was phenomenal. I love the fact that when he was training with the KKK and he was kind of always on edge, and when he had the gun, he always looked so confident because he obviously knew what he was doing. I always believed in him all the way through. And I just thought, I'm so associated with just Kylo Ren all the time. That's all I do. I always think, oh, that's him. But I've not seen the other film. Is it Midnight 8 or something? Midnight something? He did a film a few years ago.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Okay.
We saw him in that other film, though, this Steven Soderbergh film with Daniel Craig. Do you remember?
Yes, Logan. Lucky Logan.
Yeah, Logan Lucky. And he was good in that. He was very good in that.
But I loved him in this, and I believe in him, and I just thought he was a badass. And I want to see him in more and more because he's one of the best actors out there right now. Just give him more to do.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed Laura Harriet as Patrice. Mm. I thought she was a real powerhouse performer who kind of stood her ground, and she had a lot of, you know, she really had to kind of stand out from an already strong cast, and I thought she was an absolute joy to watch on screen. She really held her own.
She was great, because the only thing I'd seen her in before this was Spider-Man Homecoming.
Really?
Oh, yeah, she's his prom date. She's Michael Keaton's daughter in Spider-Man.
God.
Yeah, and it's such a different performance. That's why I was absolutely blown away by her. I didn't know she had this kind of role in her, because when you see her in Spider-Man, she's this beautiful, tall gazelle of a woman with the long, shiny hair. She looks like a supermodel. And in this, she's sort of a badass Black Panther, and it's so different, and it shows that she's got range.
Yeah. She got like the syndrome of like Benjamin Button, but the opposite, because she looks like about 10 years older, and Spider-Man was only about 2 years ago. That's mad. That's blowing my mind.
So when you say the opposite syndrome to Benjamin Button, do you mean aging? the natural process of aging.
Topher Grace, guys, let's talk about him.
Well,
so good as David Duke. Mm-hmm.
This guy's amazing. Absolutely phenomenal. Every time he came on the screen, I was mesmerised. And he's up against some good actors again. You know, very good, but I love him.
I always associate him as that young kid from that 70s show.
Yeah, me too.
A real baby-faced, all-American kind of good guy. But this level of performance that he gave, it gave such this kind of creepiness that evil can come in all forms of appearance. So he looked like an average Joe that you would cross the street. But knowing that he's this, what, grand wizard of this white supremacist gang, it's disturbing on so many levels, but yeah.
It's great, because the real-life David Duke is a weaselly little arsehole.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
And you know, he plays him perfectly. Topher Grace nails that. He nails Weasley arsehole with a plum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked him a lot in that. My favourite performance in the whole film, actually, is Corey Hawkins, who we'll know from Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
He plays kind of a Black Panther leader who comes to speak to the student group, and he gives that kind of hellfire and brimstone type speech about, you know, standing up for black power and, you know, arming yourself if you need to and stuff. And I was fucking mesmerised by him.
One of my favourite... I've got three moments I'm hoping to talk about, but that is moment number one. I was on the edge of my seat listening to every single word. And what I love about that whole sequence, during his speech, you see a montage of the students' faces come up to the screen, and they are hanging on his every single word. I myself was finding myself in that position, and I found him hypnotic.
Yeah.
I was absorbing that performance.
That scene was about 5 minutes long, and it's right at the start, and I was glued to it. I was literally on the edge of my seat, and it's just that at that moment, I thought, I'm going to love this film. That's all I needed at that point, because we had, what's his name? Who did the start?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin was a mental racist bastard that he is. But that must have been
the character.
But that must have been really tough, because it wasn't a nice part to play. Mm. And at the start, I was like, this is really different to what I thought. And then we get the actual intro, and we go, okay, the whole tone has shift now. Yeah. But that intro is pretty heavy.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Let's move on from the characters, really, because we're going to get bogged down in it. There's one last thing I want to say about the characters. You know the kind of main racist? He's not the head of the group, but he's the kind of most, the arsey one, the one who's got his wife and his own meetings.
Felix.
I looked it up. The actor who plays him is from, I think, Finland.
That's right.
And, you know, I don't necessarily know what a Coloradan accent sounds like, but to my ears, he sounded like a native, you know, an actual American.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he was a guy who'd never been in an American film before and was from Finland. His accent was flawless, wasn't
it? You're Dan Tootin.
Mark's wasn't so good. Are you from Finland?
He was amazing, though. I loved him. And I did love his little sidekick, the real redneck inbred guy. The guy from
I, Tonya. Just playing a doofus like he always does, like in I, Tonya. Yeah.
He was brilliant. I want to see him just do that character in every film.
Me too. Let's talk about the tone of the film. So it was a very tricky tonal balance, because it's incredibly dark. It's about, you know, the race wars of the 1970s. It's about the Ku Klux Klan. It's inherently dark subject matter. So I like that Spike Lee tried to throw some humour in there. There are parts of the film that are incredibly funny, and it's a tricky line to walk. I don't think the tone was consistent enough as it needed to be, but there are some of the funny parts that blew me away. So there's a bit where Felix, who we've just mentioned, and his wife are in bed, and they're cuddled up together, you know, whispering sweet nothings. And the wife saying, you know, oh, it always felt like a dream, but I'm so glad we're finally going to get to kill black people. Now, she didn't say black people.
No.
I've cleaned up the language there. But the way she's saying it to him is the same way that you'd see people in a rom-com saying, I'm so glad we're finally having kids.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we're finally going to get married. But yeah. she's saying, I'm so glad we're finally going to kill black people. And you couldn't help but laugh because yeah. the tone of it and the words that are coming out of her mouth are just so against odds. Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's the way it's filmed, though. When I was watching this, I felt it had the same tone at times as something like Paul Thomas Anderson's Boogie Nights. Mm. It had that vibrant colours and all this. And it was comedic throughout.
Yeah.
But the subject matter is hardcore. So when they're doing that, you shouldn't be laughing at that moment. No. But I like that. I love that he can kind of challenge you in the cinema in that way, and that's what I loved about it. And I did think it was weirdly paced. I thought at times it was a bit all over the shop, because at moments it was very serious and you wanted to pull your heart out, it was so harsh, and the next minute you're laughing, so it didn't quite work that way. But he got the political stuff across, and if it meant you're laughing and it doesn't seem so harsh, fair play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a second moment that I wanted to talk about where we see two sides, one with the Black Student Union but also with the KKK initiation. And we see at the Black Student Union meeting an old man who is talking about a kid named Jesse who got tried and convicted of the rape of a white woman. And I'll be honest, I had tears strolling down my face. It was just one of the most heartbreaking stories I think I've ever heard in my entire life, knowing that it was true, because the students behind him were carrying photographs of this public execution, mm-hmm. almost. And then we juxtapose that with the initiation sequence of what's happening with the KKK, where Flip is getting initiated into the chapter of that particular area of the US. And it is two worlds completely different. And it is just so barbaric that one group would think it's perfectly normal to lynch people, to murder people because of the colour of their skin, whereas another group of people are saying, Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. What is the difference? And it completely cut me up. It really did. And you say about, you know, changing the shift of tone, where we're laughing one minute, then we're in dumbfounded horror the next. It's just so well played by Spike Lee to do something along these lines.
Yeah, that sequence you just mentioned was so well directed and so well edited.
Yeah.
The cross-cutting between the scenes at the student union where they're talking about these real-life lynchings and, mm-hmm. you know, the burning of the corpses and all that kind of stuff, and then cutting back and forth with the fucking idiots in their robes and hoods.
Definitely
watching Birth of a Nation and braying at the black people being hanged. Yeah, it's really, really fucking powerful. And one of the bits that's so powerful is, as the scene comes to an end, you see the guys at the KKK rally shouting, white power, which to them means, let's kill everyone who's not white.
Yeah.
And then it crosses over to the student union meeting, and all the black people are saying, black power, and to them that means, let's not allow ourselves to be murdered by these arseholes anymore.
Yeah.
The phrases may seem really basically the same, white power versus black power, but the meaning behind them is so antithetical. They're at their absolute opposite ends of the spectrum in their meaning. A brilliant bravura piece of filmmaking.
Yeah.
Contemporary cinema done perfectly.
Couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
Should we talk about the final scene? Because this is the bit where I'm not saying it upset me, but it was just a bit wrong. So I'm at the cinema, we see this final scene, and then we get real footage of the Trump rally. We get actual news footage that we saw of the car going into people.
That's the terrorist attack in Charlottesville.
And I know why they did it. But it felt such a tone change, because we had been seeing the film crew and a whole production team do it, and then we had the raw footage of seeing humans killed. Now, I know why it was done, because I left the cinema then going, shit, this is real, this is why it's done, and the message is, don't just think this is a film, this is happening right now in America because of that orange twat, which is the truth.
Definitely.
But it was a bit heavy, and I wasn't ready for it, because I was enjoying the film. The soundtrack was fucking unbelievable. I'm now listening to every bloody soul piece of music ever. But then to have that footage without any warning, and then just the flag fade to black, and then you see that, I was like, I literally walked from the cinema and just felt like, this is, it's an utter kick in the balls.
It's a pure gut punch.
It was hardcore, and I wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was necessary.
Yeah.
Because obviously, with filmmaking, it is art. You know, we as critics, you know, we like to talk about... we'll call ourselves critics. We like to talk about film. We like to talk about it in an artistic point of view. And Spike Lee, I can understand why he's done this, because like you said, we can't just watch a film, walk away and pretend, you know, we get on with our lives. He's done this for a point. He's done this to make sure that we don't forget why this story has been told and why it still needs to be told, because there are some fucked up racist pieces of shit out there. And that whole terrorist attack that we did see in Charlottesville needed to be seen. Heather Heyer, who unfortunately lost her life due to that attack, needed to be remembered, as we see at the end where she says, where Spike Lee puts rest in power.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most effective, one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in cinema. And
yeah,
it was.
I mean, I agree with both of you, and I know exactly what you're saying, Mark. I mean, you've alluded to it.
Yeah.
You've alluded to it that you know why they did it.
Yeah.
Because if they hadn't put that there, basically the last thing we see is Ron celebrating that he wins. And if you don't know your history, you could walk out the cinema thinking, "Oh, good, racism's over then." Ron fixed it in the '70s.
Good old Ron.
Yeah. So that they show this shit that's happened a year ago. It is necessary to wake you the fuck up and go, hey, I'm glad you were entertained by this film. It is a fun piece, but also this is real.
Yeah.
These traumas are real. So I mean, I'm with you, but it was an absolute gut punch. I agree entirely. You've mentioned there that orange twat. I like the fact that they have they've tried to draw parallels between David Duke, who is a real life friend of Trump, or at least he claims to be. In so much as David Duke in this film uses the term America first over and over again, which Trump does. And there's a bit where he almost word for word said, make America great again.
Yeah.
I love how they've done that. There you go, mate. There's your Trump. Yeah.
The only sad thing about this film is, and we'll know this as we try to see it all together, it's never on anywhere.
Oh,
it's a
God.
Difficult one because it's not going to be up against all these big blockbusters at the moment. You go to your local cinema, you probably won't see it. You need to go to one of these independents. Yeah. But if you're listening to this and you've enjoyed the review, go and fucking do it, because
please,
we want to see more films like this on the big screen.
Absolutely right. Yeah. And I really want to read Ron Stallworth's book, The True Story, because there are things in the film that didn't necessarily ring true to me. So there's this one racist cop who's always giving him shit. And then at the end of the film, they've staged this little scam where they record the racist cop saying racist things. And it turns out all the good cops were just round the corner and like, ha-ha, we got you, you're going to prison. It's like, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. That was too neat. Or the explosion at the end, I read this online, the explosion at the end where the KKK guys die, that didn't happen. That was made up for the film. Mm. So I'd like to read his book to get a clearer idea of what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah.
Could be a future skip to the recommend.
Maybe so.
Stay tuned.
Quite possibly. So, shall we score it?
I think I've said all I want to.
Yeah.
All right, Marky Mark, you go first.
Bloody hell. It's a powerful film. It shook me. I'll agree. It's probably my top five of the year now, which is good. I'll give it a very, very high 8 out of 10.
Fantastic. Ben?
Same's is.
Okay.
Very high 8.
I'm going to be difficult, and I'm going to say it's a 9 out of 10 for me. I love when you watch a film and you're affected by it when you leave the cinema and you're still thinking about it for days, and that's exactly what's happened to me. So, overall, BlacKkKlansman gets a skip to the end, 8 out of 10.
It's competition time! Oh yeah!
I was not expecting that.
If you listen to our last episode, the Benny episode, which is now officially, it was going to be called the Meg episode, but it's not, it's the Benny episode.
Seems
you'd have
fair.
Heard us review the Meg. And we didn't really love that film, did we, to be fair, listening
no,
back?
No, not so much.
But the bundle was good. So our good friends from Warner Brothers gave us a Meg hat, a towel, some shot glasses, a t-shirt, a shark screen cleaner, some vests, a waterproof phone case, and a light that can go underwater.
That sounds like a perfect bundle to fight sharks.
What's shark screen cleaner?
Please.
I think it's when you're going to clean your mobile phone.
Or your shark.
You get like this fin with a screen cleaner so you can clean your phone.
I see.
Isn't that just like a mini window cleaner?
And I'm
accessory.
Sure it'll be very clean once you've finished.
Oh dear.
Thank you very much.
Oh dear.
And to win this bundle from the amazing film Meg, we put the question out there, who wrote the book The Meg? Ben, one of your favourites.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've lost count of how many times I've seen it on Reddit.
Yeah. Who did write it?
Oh, it's Steve Alton.
Yes.
Everyone knows that.
Oh, of course. And at Bill626, we'll be getting that bundle in the post.
Well done. All jokes aside, the books are apparently very good.
Yes. Unlike the film. Also, our good friends from Last Exit to Nowhere came along. They are big supporters of the podcast, and we appreciate everything they do. And they gave us a brand new Free Billboards t-shirt with the Ebbing Advertising Company brand on the front, which looks really smart. And the question we put out there was, who directed Free Billboards? So, Gemma?
Martin McDonagh.
It's true. And it's at Todd28289. We'll be getting that in the post. And
okay.
What I really like about the winners of Last Exit, I don't know why, they all seem to post pictures of their t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I bloody love that. And it ain't going to stop, because we've also got a Step Brothers t-shirt to give away. And that's a great film, one of Ben's favourites. You would say that?
I adore it, yeah.
Really great film. And the question you put out there was, the character of Derek is played by which actor from Parks and Rec?
It's Adam Scott.
It's true. And Mark Haywood will be getting that on Facebook. So excellent. I want to see pictures.
Super.
We also had a Tebow Sphere 2 portable Bluetooth multi-room and network speaker from our good friends at Richard Sounds, those home TV specialists. And this is basically a system that lets you play music in different rooms of the house. So you get your phone, you've got Spotify, which is a great value package at $9.99 a month.
Yeah, that is true.
Apple Music.
Oh yeah, also good.
Which would you have? I'd have both.
Oh, well, I'd have Amazon Unlimited Music.
Oh, that's a great one, to be fair. And the question we put out there was, what is your favourite album of all time? Now, this person, I don't believe, means this, but they're going to win it. Faye Statton has said, Order of the Vulture by Cemetery Piss.
Mate, so, you say she doesn't mean it, there are a lot of piss heads out there.
There are.
A lot of piss heads.
There's a lot. So if you did do it just to try and make us laugh, it worked. But you've also got yourself a bloody good system, so well done.
It's a great record.
It is. After we masturbated over Kevin Smith on the last episode, and I just want to say, it's really nice that he went in and liked every single response to that tweet we put out.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Aww. I imagine he didn't like the episode, though.
And we had from Funko this Secret Stash exclusive pop, which you can only buy in New Jersey. And the question we put out there was, Jay and who is Kevin Smith's character in the film? So Jay and...
It could be Silent Bob.
It is.
Oh.
And at Zombie Dead 1981, who DM'd us on Twitter to get his answers to us.
Wow.
That's
wow.
pretty good.
Well, I know.
He's going to get that Funko in the post. And he was bloody loving it. He said he absolutely loves Kevin Smith and thought we would slag him off for the whole time and was impressed that we didn't.
Well,
for
yes.
about half. 70% of it.
I was going to say half of us did.
Competitions don't stop here on Skip to the End, and we've got a whole bunch of great stuff to give away again. So we just reviewed the...
Black Klansman.
Which is great. And we have a very limited edition book from Universal, which isn't on market. It's like ones that they gave out to press and stuff,
okay.
Which is really
good. I thought you were going to say they did Funko Pops of like little guys in Ku Klux Klan outfits. Jesus.
Oh, no, 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 no.
But thanks to Universal for giving us these books. They literally can't buy them. Who directed the movie? That's really simple.
Yep.
Mm. Really simple. Last Exit to Nowhere don't do a t-shirt for that film, which is, you know, not surprising, but they have come up with some good goods. So what they said, what, the good goods, some good goods. They know that obviously The Godfather is a great film and directed by someone that we'll be masturbating over in the very near future. So near, it's going to be about 5 minutes away. And they've given us a t-shirt of Genko from The Godfather. It's a really nice print. Look at that, guys.
Pretty good.
Mm. And spookily, they also think one of the best endings is Friday the 13th. So they give us a Camp Yay! Crystal Lake t-shirt. So to win the one from The Godfather, let's say who directed The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
And the one for Friday the 13th, who is the killer in Friday the 13th. That seems pretty fair. Richard Sounds haven't stopped and they've given us... Oh, they give us annoying stuff because it's great, but it's always got long words. So it's Yamaha...
I can't wait for this.
WX010 Music System. So it's like...
Right.
It's just the WX010. Oh, I just got to get it right.
I thought you were struggling with music system.
It's a bit like a Sonos. So you put it in a room in the house and you stream all your music to it.
But I imagine better.
Much better.
Hence why we're giving it away.
Of course. Yamaha, man. So, they don't just make bikes. They make good systems for listening to music at home.
They make good goods.
They bloody do. Let's make it a bit more niche. Your favourite song of all time.
Ooh.
That's okay. Pretty good. I'm going to put you on the spot, Ben.
Yeah.
What's your favourite song by Corey of all time?
I know everyone says go for it, so I'm going to say go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. I'm not going to ask you, Gemma, because you're not a proper Corey file.
Hello, Essential Millennium.
It's a good pick,
that's
though.
It's a good one. It is good. Funko.
All right, mate. Where's yours?
Dude, you know mine.
Go on, then.
It is definitely... Oh, it's tough, isn't it? It's probably Limity Pickety or whatever it's called.
Lickety-splickety.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's a tune.
That's a great
cold
tune.
Cold classic.
Funko have come up, and they've not got Funkos, like Ben said, for Black...
Klansman.
That would just not be good. But they have got a brand new range of Beetlejuice Funkos, which are really smart.
Yeah.
Who directed that? That simple?
Yeah.
Also, they got some Gremlins Funkos. These are really cool. We got Gret, and we got the Flashing Gremlins, and a vinyl 2-pack. Billy from Gremlins is played by which actor? That's pretty good.
Yep.
And if you want to know and listen to more from him, go on markandme.com, where I've done an hour with Billy. But this is a really good set of Funkos. I said to Sally, I said, can you just send us some of these to give away because they're awesome. The Little Shop of Horrors set. Have you seen that?
I love.
Awesome.
Seymour is played by which actor that is one of our relations in Skip to the End?
He's a big favourite around here.
A massive favourite. And all those Funkos you just heard, we'll also put in a whole box, a second bundle, if you leave us an iTunes rating.
Seems fair.
That's pretty fair.
Mm. Five star.
And what I like about that, you see we tweet them out. We're getting them from Australia, Japan, Brazil. It's amazing. We're getting international people taking the time to leave us reviews. So yeah. Keep them coming. You might get a prize. I'll announce all the winners again in 2 weeks' time, and good luck, everyone.
It's now time for Movie Masturbate, the section of the show where we talk about our favourite films from a director. On the last episode, we picked Francis Ford Coppola. Yes, Mark, she's done good work, eh?
Those bastards on social media saying her best work.
I know, but it's true, though, because you clearly misgendered Francis Ford Coppola.
Sorry, Francis. I hope you forgive me.
Oh, dear. And for that reason, I'm going to let Ben go first on this one. Come on, Ben.
Godfather 2.
He's done it.
It's really a toss-up for me between Godfather and Godfather 2. On any given day, I might change my mind, but I think more often than not, I tend to say that Godfather 2 is the better film. It's the dual timelines. It's having Michael in the 1950s consolidating his power as the new head of the Corleone Mafia family, and then it's Vito in the 1920s as he arrives in New York and starts his path into organised crime. It's like watching two separate but equally brilliant films. It's astounding that Coppola managed to master the tone of both films, because the tones aren't quite identical. They do seem separate, but both equally well done. And it has two extraordinary lead performances. Obviously, you've got Pacino as Michael and Robert De Niro as Vito, with De Niro deservedly winning the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Pacino was nominated for Best Lead Actor but didn't win, which is an absolute fucking travesty. Pacino especially, I think, should get all the plaudits, because if you think back to the scenes with him and Fredo, when he realises that Fredo has betrayed him, and then when he makes the decision that he's going to kill his own brother, spoiler alert, it's so powerful, so dark, so well performed and so well filmed. Coppola's a master of mood, you know, the film is so atmospheric that you don't just watch the film, you experience it. You're living that film rather than just viewing it. And a large part of that has to go to the cinematographer as well, the late Gordon Willis. The film feels really warm and lush, which stands in stark contrast to the cold shit that is happening in the film. And it kind of makes the cold actions more palatable because the film feels so warm. It's just a masterpiece. It won 6 Oscars, fully deservedly. It won Best Screenplay, Best Director, Best Picture. And it for me, stands as Coppola's best work.
It's by far above and beyond one of the greatest gangster films of all time, and I think that it's the blueprint of what people tend to think what a gangster film is.
Yeah, absolutely. Every gangster film that has come out since uses this as the template. This is the benchmark by which they are judged.
Absolutely.
I want to watch the first one. But when we did do the second one, I enjoyed it, and I just now need to see the first, because it's like going into Star Wars, watching Empire first, and then going, what the fuck? How did we get here? But it's definitely... Do you know what, dude? I'm actually going to say it, right? And it's not one of these things that we do, and then I buckle and don't do it.
Yeah.
It will be.
Next time we get together with Benny,
yes,
I'll get Boov there, and we'll have some whiskies, and we'll do a trilogy.
All right.
Gemma, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Just bring whiskey. But I'm serious. We need to do it.
Yeah,
I can't live my life not seeing the Godfather trilogy.
No. I mean, you could live your life without seeing the third, to be honest. But the first two, certainly.
Should we just watch the first two?
Yeah, we'll watch the first two and then we'll play the third one by ear.
Nice.
We might just watch First Kill again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. How did that get a mention now?
Go on, Mark. Your go.
Apocalypse Now.
It's mine too.
Amazing.
The best war film ever made, in my top 10 movies of all time, my favourite rewatch we've ever done. If you buy the Blu-ray, you get a documentary called Heart of Darkness. Are you going to rip me?
Yeah.
Mispronunciation. Which is one of the best documentaries you'll ever see. Considering he did Godfather, he had the actual ego to go out and attempt something on this scale. Mm. It's pretty brave, but he did it beautifully. Everything about this film is incredible. It is a masterpiece. I think he got the best performance I've ever seen from Marlon Brando. I think he's absolutely phenomenal. And I read a lot about this film, and he actually was going to attempt to kill himself after 200 days on set making this film. It took his body, it took his soul, it took his heart, and he nearly topped himself. So it really did get the better of him. But when you watch it back, you see all those hours that were put into the best use you've ever seen in film. I think it is genuinely one of the greatest films ever made. It's by far the most beautiful cinematography I've probably ever seen. I think I can't fault it in any way, and I love our rewatch of it, so go back and listen, because we just nailed it. And that's not being arrogant, we did. We had so much fun with it. It's Everything about it, everything about this film is perfect. I don't know what else I can say. It's just a masterpiece.
It is fully deserving of the term masterpiece because it is one.
Yeah, it's amazing. Gemma, good luck to Adam because it is, just go for it.
Oh, I can, like Corey.
Go for it.
You mentioned earlier on about how you can tell the mark of a good film by its opening sequence. Now, of course, we talked about ending, but opening sequence for this has one of the most atmospheric, most kind of statement-esque beginnings ever in film, where we see trees in Vietnam, we see them swaying in the breeze, then a cloud of yellow smoke starts engulfing the screen. And then as soon as Jim Morrison starts singing "This is the End," the whole forest just explodes into this orange fireball. And then we see Martin Sheen's character, Captain Willard, sort of strung out in like a haze of remembrance of all the horrors that he's faced in the war. Cut to a few moments later and we see him drunkenly tai-chiing in front of a mirror.
Yeah.
Like completely off his tits on whiskey or whatever alcohol he was consuming that day. But that was all real. This wasn't an act. He was battling some kind of inner demon and they let him be drunk on set, which resulted in him punching in a mirror and genuinely cutting his hand. So we see him smear all the blood on his face. That was not fake. That wasn't corn syrup. They weren't using some scream shit on that. That was genuinely bona fide real. And it sets the tone for the rest of the film because the actors, the cast, and of course, as you mentioned about Coppola, they all put their heart, soul, blood, sweat, tears into it. And it's reflected as an audience member. It is, I totally agree with you, buddy. It is one of the finest, not just war films of all time, one of the finest films of all time.
And after you watch Apocalypse Now, you have to watch Hearts of Darkness,
absolutely,
the documentary,
yep,
to see the shit they went through to get it done.
Mm-hmm. It's insane.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Why don't more filmmakers do like an accompanying documentary for their films?
Lazy.
They used to. It used to happen quite a bit, but I don't think it happens so much anymore.
Yeah, Mark, did they do one for Mac and Me?
They did.
Can we unearth that for a watch one day?
The thing is about it is the fact that everyone doesn't buy DVDs or Blu-rays anymore. They just want to download it on iTunes or whatever it is. So there's no point. Yeah. No one cares about the commentary, the trailers. I bloody love it.
Yeah.
Director's commentaries. When you get good ones, they're fantastic.
I used to love them. Yeah. Back in the day when I used to buy DVDs rather than, you know, watching stuff digitally now. I used to always listen to the director commentaries and now I don't give a shit. So I think that's a fair point, Mark. What's the value in them creating these things if no one's going to watch?
Yep. It's when you've got stuff like us giving the best commentary you need.
There you go.
There you go.
Do you know that when I bought Fight Club, it had six commentaries on? Even Radiohead are doing a commentary.
That's too many.
I listened to the lot at that point. I had too much time on my hands. Honestly, as a student, I didn't go to college, or you can probably tell now, the after effect of not being able to read or speak. I should have not listened to Fight Club and actually learned the alphabet. But anyway, social media.
Was it you once that asked me how many letters there were in the alphabet?
No, it wasn't.
How many letters are in the
26.
Alphabet? 26. All right, wasn't you. But it was someone we know of our age group who asked me that once, and I was fucking flummoxed.
Bloody hell. Yeah, so what did social media come up with for this great director?
On Twitter, El Duderino at W. Drew Curtis has said Godfather 2. He told the story of the immigrant experience in America in a compelling way. A great film. On Facebook, Nick Horton agrees with the two of you. He said it's got to be Apocalypse Now. It captured a war in a way that no film has before or since. From the imagery to the music, it's how most remember Vietnam now. On Twitter, Instant Sam at Instant_Sam has said The Cotton Club. Great film, fantastic soundtrack, and the mighty duo of Bob Hoskins and Nicolas Cage.
I've not seen that.
I've not seen it.
No.
No, Gemma?
I want to.
No. Yeah.
I'm sold.
I'll have to take your word for that, Sam. On Facebook, Erica Bean said The Outsiders. I've loved the film and the book since I was about 15, and it's still one I return to regularly. The ending breaks my heart every time.
I have not seen that film in a long time. Yeah. Is it Stay Gold, Pony Boy?
Yeah, I think I saw that maybe 20 years ago or something.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of things, but I don't remember that
at all. It was Tom Cruise before the dental work.
Oh, sounds good. Mm. I'll have to get my teeth stuck into that soon.
Oh, God.
Take a bite.
Well, guess what time I watched that film?
Go on.
2:30. Yay! Thank you! Ben's on board! Ben's on board! Ben's on board! That was a very powerful chant.
On Twitter, Bearded Hobbit at Bosox Hobbit has said, personally, I think Jack is his best film.
No.
Yeah. A masterful performance by the late Robin Williams and a great story, plus that ending is possibly the most inspiring speech on film. I disagree. I think Gemma disagrees also.
Absolutely.
Jack off.
Yep, brilliant. Well done, Mark.
Move along.
On Instagram, Russell Hewitt, a.k.a. Russell with Love. I loved Rumblefish. Has a great cast too. Dylan, Rourke, Hopper and Cage, etc.
What have I not heard of any of these films? Rumblefish.
Yeah. It's meant to be very good. I've never seen the film. I've seen a stage play of it.
Oh, yes.
It's tremendously good.
You're always at your stage plays, aren't you? Every time.
I'm never not. Yes. You know, as much as many listen to indie, I'm at stage plays.
What one have you got coming up this week?
Oh, some at Shakespeare, probably. Because, you know, stage plays are definitely not boring and redundant.
Yes, definitely not. Like commentary on DVDs. Yeah.
On Twitter, Carmelita Valdez McCoy at Carmelita says, I should have given Mark that to
you
read.
You should have, he would have done that.
She says, on any given day I might change my mind and say part two, but today I'm going with The Godfather.
Nice.
She's going with the original, great choice. Graham Doyle on Facebook, fuck, this is ridiculous. He said Bram Stoker's Dracula. Despite having one of the worst performances by any actor in any movie, sorry Keanu, it manages to be brilliant.
How?
I respectfully disagree.
Dracula, Wackula.
Dracula, Cacula.
Yes! I'm sorry, Graham. We respect your opinion here at Skip to the End.
Kinda. And then finally on Twitter, John O'Callaghan at Snoochies has said the conversation. It grows on me every time I watch it, from the superb Gene Hackman to the revelatory sound design. Coppola had a pretty awesome 70s output, but this is the cream of the crop. It's an amazing film. I'm guessing you haven't seen it.
No, I was talking to my mate about it, but I just can't remember the conversation now.
I hate that. I hate that, Gemma.
Why did we allow this to
it's
happen?
It's the worst one he's ever done.
I think
ever.
So.
But you've got to laugh.
Just.
I don't think I've seen it, dude. Unless it's... Is it the group of people that have a tea party and then they'll get murdered and stuff? No?
No, you're thinking of The Invitation.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
tea party? The tea party, love?
They don't have, like, Lord, fondant fancy.
But tell me about it, then.
No. Go and watch it. Stars Gene Hackman, John Cazale. It's a masterpiece.
Gene Goodman?
He's not in it.
No. I'm not watching it. Who are we going to masturbate again? I've lost the plot.
No, you've ruined it for me
now.
We're
just going to cover a new feature. Gemma, you can pick out the magic hat.
Come on in. Let's do it. Can I get a drum roll? Oh, ho, 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 ho. On the next Movie Masturbate, we'll be masturbating over Quentin Tarantino!
Jesus Christ!
It's time for the rewatch. This time round, it's Attack the Block. In Joe Cornish's directorial debut, alien creatures have invaded a South London council estate, and it's up to a gang of hoodlums to defend their patch and repel the invaders. The film stars John Boyega as the leader of the gang, Jodie Whittaker as a young nurse caught up in the fight, and Nick Frost as the local weed dealer who assists them. There will be spoilers. We are going to be talking about the entirety of the film, including the ending, so if you haven't seen it, shame on you.
Why would they do such a thing?
I do not know.
Come on, guys.
But it's just such a good, fun film. It's one I've been looking forward to talking about for a long time. So, Gemma, hit me.
Oh, I love it. It's a fun and lively sci-fi that doesn't come across as a parody or a piss take of where the location is set. It's a film that shows development of characters set amongst kind of a frenzied backdrop with these alien invaders. It's also one of my favourite design of aliens in the 21st century.
Yeah.
My God, something so simple and so original can have that much of an impact on you. It's also a great turn by Boyega and Whittaker. And it was actually the first film I ever saw John Boyega in.
Because it was the first film he was in. That's why it was his debut.
That will be why.
Yeah.
But fantastic. I bloody love it. Can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about the creature design in detail when we get to it for sure. Mark, thoughts?
It's adrenaline packed, like you said. I knew you were going to talk about the creature.
Sorry.
One of the best ever. It's gory, and I would probably say it's one of the truest, best horrors in 20 years. That's a big statement, but I love it. I love the originality of it, and I love all the characters, and it's just a blast.
It is.
That's all it is. It's a great blast, and it's a beer and pizza movie.
Totally.
It is. And because it's a blast because it's short.
Yeah.
You know, I know that shouldn't be the deciding factor on whether you like a film or not, but it's an hour and a half. It never lets up. There are no dull patches, no slow patches. It just hits you and never stops. And I love that. The thing that I particularly love about it is that it's a nice choice that this gang of ne'er-do-wells, this gang of youths, are the heroes, because those kind of kids are usually demonized in films. They're usually the bad guys. And I like the fact that the film never forgives them. It never shies away from the fact that they are a pack of thieves. Sam, the nurse played by Jodie Whittaker, who was their first mugging victim, She repeatedly calls them out on the fact that they were five lads against one woman. It never glosses over the fact they are what they are, but it shows that they have more to them than just being thugs. It shows that they can be resourceful. It shows that they can be brave, and it shows that they can grow as people. It's a great film.
It really is. And Joe Cornish, credit to him too. He crafted a world that had clearly been researched. Mm. So with the dialect of the film, the script, I think, is a really good, strong, modern script because it doesn't veer into Ali G territory. But I feel like when I'm listening to these kids, it is really in that South London area, and it doesn't feel like it, like I said earlier, it doesn't feel parodied, it doesn't feel like it's a spoof of that kind of lifestyle. It feels authentic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gangs are very real. Yeah. That's probably what you are going to come across if you go down to London and hang outside Spa at 2 a.m.
Yeah, and it's because most of the kids were unknowns.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of them had some acting credits, but they were mostly unknowns that Joe Cornish and his casting director found at local South London drama classes in local schools and so on. And he used them, when he presented them with the script, he said to them, is this how you would talk if you were out, you know, in the block with your friends? And he got feedback from them on the appropriate terminology, the appropriate slang to put in. That's why it feels real, it feels legitimate.
Mm. Didn't he get their opinion on what kind of weapons they would use in such an alien invasion attack? Yeah. So yeah, again, going to the same groups, and he said, what, you know, if this happens, what would you use? And some kids would say a samurai sword, you know, fireworks.
I'd shank them up with this blade.
Yeah, an ice skating boot.
But it works, and that's what I love about it. Isn't this over the top ridiculous guns that they can suddenly get their hands on? It's what would really happen.
Yeah, it's charming in a way.
I don't think I'd use the word charming.
I mean, I should really explain myself. It's charming to the fact that they're not using like guns and Uzis and things like that. It's like as if you would go into a teenager's bedroom and see what they've got there. I mean, they might have samurai swords, you never know. But
cosplaying is very serious for some people. They do have these swords.
The choice for them to not have guns was very deliberate by Joe Cornish. He only wanted Hi-Hats, the local gangster, to have a gun. He wanted him to be the true villain of the piece. Whereas the kids were kind of, they're young, they're 15 years old, they're innocent, they're playing dress up, like Mark joked there about cosplay. They essentially are playing dress up, aren't they? Knocking him out with samurai swords and machetes. So that was a conscious decision. I think that worked. I think it would have been a different tone if they were all packing Glocks.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked quite the same way.
Gangster talk. Packing Glocks. What? What are you on about?
You don't know what a Glock is?
No.
It's a handgun.
Yeah. Oh. There you go. I learn something new every day. Yeah.
Let's talk about John Boyega, shall we?
What a legend.
So, Pooch, you said it was the first time you saw him in a film. What were your thoughts on him?
I thought he was really raw. I thought this wasn't somebody that had been groomed as a baby up to the point of where he was going to be an actor. This, you know, with acting, it can feel sometimes like you're either born with it or you're not. With anything that you're talented at, with a gift, it has to be within you. And I do believe that John Boyega has this within him. What I loved about his character was when we first meet him, he's mugging Sam. And that whole scene as a woman is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it's happened to me where I've been followed by people. I've never been mugged. Touch wood.
What, in Kettering?
I know. Hey, we're the sunshine state of the UK, okay?
I'll shank you up in Kettering. Give me your Weetabix.
A hotbed for gang activity.
No, if you say shank in Kettering, they'll offer you a lovely lamb dinner.
Followed by some Weetabix.
Always Weetabix.
Why have we not gone to the Weetabix factory? I'm going to stop it. I know this is going off, but why have we not? We keep talking about it. I want to know how they're made.
I bet it's like Willy Wonka.
Oh, imagine that. You're just standing outside. A guy walks out with a stick, falls over. You go inside. You get to see the conveyor belt with them all on.
Like a sea of porridge.
Oh.
Have you ever left the remnants of Weetabix in a bowl for a day or two and then come
back
to it?
Not a day, but about an hour.
It's like fucking cement. Yeah. Honestly, and people put that shit in their bodies. No, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the roads in Kettering are just leftovers.
Very true. We had a major pothole problem back in the beginning of the year, and we filled it in with some day-old Weetabix.
There
problem solved.
Excellent. So, cured. John Boyega. Yeah.
I think he'd make a good stormtrooper.
I think he would.
But you can see the potential. You can see that the guy can act, and I love him. I didn't like him in The Last Jedi just because of the writing and the character that he became. But in the first one, Episode 7, I fucking love him, and I'm so glad because he will go on and do more and more. I've not seen Detroit with him in.
No, I haven't actually.
I want to because people say he's fantastic, but I need to see more.
Yeah, it is available on Amazon.
Amazon Prime?
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Was that about £7 a month?
It's a long day's line.
It's not even worth plugging for £7. I need to start plugging big stuff.
But you do get next day delivery. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love John Boyega in this. You could tell from the get-go that he's going to be a star. He has great screen presence, and his eyes tell you everything.
Yes.
He can tell you this whole story with his eyes before he even opens his mouth. He's so brilliant. And I like the choices he made here. He could have easily just played the character as an arrogant thug.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He plays it with such an an innate sadness.
Oh,
and
yes.
You feel that the sadness and the melancholy within him, and then you understand why, because at the back end of the film, we find out that he is only 15, and he's an orphan, and he lives with his uncle who's never there, and he's got like Spider-Man bed sheets, and it's been a tough life.
Yeah, when Sam says, you know, you're too young, he says, I'm 15, I think his response is just, thanks.
Yeah.
And it's such a vulnerable way of saying thank you to somebody, because he's just almost kind of, you know, degraded himself into this thug role that he is automatically become because of the people he hangs around with and probably how society sees him. But in actual fact, deep down, he can be a hero. He can be a person that can save the day and step up.
You probably wouldn't have thought I'd mention this name during this rewatch, but with Stifler...
Yeah.
We get the same character in every film he's in.
Yeah.
Nick Frost is a bit like this for me.
Absolutely.
I love the guy, but I think he walked off the set of Paul in the same t-shirt, picked up a few Sovereign rings, and went on set. He's exactly the same guy in everything. I love it. It's a bit like The Inbetweeners when they could go off and do other stuff. Simon's in this new film, The Festival or something. It's you are Simon from The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I just want him to do something different.
Yeah.
I don't think he can.
I think that's why I love him so much in Hot Fuzz, because that's the only time he is kind of different. He's playing a different kind of character. But you're right, for the most part, he's this kind of just layabout.
He's been stiffled.
I think he did actually come from the set of Paul and go into this, because his long hair. It's too much.
And I love him, because he's obviously part of the Cornetto trilogy, which we all love. That's why we're called Skip to the End, and our logo is a complete homage to Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
But... I just want to see him do something else. And in this film, he was a bit annoying.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, no, I don't think he was annoying. I liked him.
Just a bit too Nick Frost.
I agree. He was sleepwalking through it. But I like him. I always like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if you cut him out, it might not make the difference.
Maybe if you cut his hair.
That would look different. Maybe a lovely shaggy cut.
Yes.
I really enjoyed Jodie Whittaker as well. I think she was typically great. She's always brilliant. And I believed that she would choose to work with her muggers, these lads who scared her to death and stole her ring and her wallet. But then she chose to work with them. Mark's laughing at stole her ring, Gemma. Look,
I was really trying to keep it in.
Doing his best.
You did well for what it was.
I really hope the mic didn't pick up this.
I could hear it.
You sounded like Beavis.
Ring.
So the fact that she then chose to work with them because she knew it was the lesser of two evils. Do I go up against these evil space dogs or do I work with these gangsters? And I love that, and it doesn't seem like a wacky choice. And then you understand why she starts to like them, because they clearly have defined personalities. They're not just thugs. There's more to them than that, and I think she's brilliant.
She comments earlier on in the film as well how the kids were just full of fear when they mugged her.
Mm.
And I think she understands that they are deep down just kids. They've just made life decisions to try and survive and try and be on the streets and build up a reputation. But yeah, even at the end of the film, when we see her rallying with all the residents saying, come on, these kids are innocent. They helped us. We're alive because of these kids.
I think she's a fucking awesome actress. And I love the fact that all those arseholes that love Doctor Who are getting really wound up because it's a female.
Yeah.
She will kill it.
Yeah.
It's made me want to watch it.
Yep. Oh dear, I don't think so.
No, dude, she's such a great actress. Yeah. I just love her and I want to support her and I'm going to watch it because I reckon, fuck you, you're wanking all the time, moaning about these people. Come in your sock in your parents' house and be done with it. Enjoy it, because this character is going to be great because the actress is phenomenal and she's going to put her heart and soul into it.
I agree. I mean, nothing on this earth will get me to watch Doctor Who, but I agree with you. I think she's brilliant and it's ridiculous that people are complaining about it.
Oh, God, don't get me started. Because, you know, Doctor Who shouldn't be a woman. It's never been stated that that character is a gender of some sort. It's an alien, so grow the fuck up.
Did you know that Brian Blessed was cast to be Doctor Who?
And where would you find out about that?
On markandme.com.
Who'd have thunk it?
I know. He said that he wanted to play it. This is true. Brian's exact words were he'd play it as like a Far East character. And he said, because Doctor Who. And that's what he said. But the BBC said, no, Brian, you're off your head.
Yeah.
That's a very good response.
If you want to find out more, markandme.com.
Fifth plug.
The third, I think.
No.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, speaking of characters, though, I think the film, to me, is owned by Probs and Mayhem. The two little 9-year-olds who want to be part of the gang. How fucking funny are they?
They're adorable.
Yeah.
They are like the younger brother you wish you'd always had.
Yeah.
I just fucking love them.
They are so adorable. They're so cute. And they're real fucking warriors, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to pack some heat one day and they're going to do it.
What's all this talk? I'm just not up to the street talk. Pack some heat.
You must have heard the term pack heat.
No.
It means carry a gun.
I'm from Shrewsbury.
She was from Kettering and she's heard it.
Exactly.
Yeah, she needed to fight off the people at the Weetabix factory that are stealing it to use as concrete on the fucking roads.
Let's move away from the characters. Let's talk about some of the practical effects. Let's talk about the creature design first of all. So Gemma's hinted at it. For me, I think it's my favourite alien design, or favourite non-classical alien design. We have in our head a view of what an alien looks like. Mac, obviously, the alien from Alien, and then, you know, the kind of little grey men, little green men that we know from films. This is so out there, so different, these big kind of bear dog things with their fluorescent teeth. It's mm-hmm. It's mind-blowing.
The colour neon green I associate with sci-fi, with space, with extraterrestrial, and I think it was such a clever idea to use that kind of colour, especially a luminous green, to emphasise just their teeth. And that's it. All you see is an outline of like these sort of furry gorilla kind of dog monsters, but it's the whole focus is on the teeth because that's their weapons, that's what they use, and it's terrifying but also just mesmerising to look at.
I just love the glow when they're outside and you just see them coming through the window and they're at the door. All you see is the glow, and that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
You know the creature because you've been introduced to it anyway, so you know it's just like a big shaggy dog. But to see that glow, it's terrifying and it's so unique. And we've not seen anything like that before in any alien. Like we always see the round head, like a Warwick Davis size sort of person. But that's what aliens are traditional.
No, it is usually Warwick playing it, Gemma.
Think about Alf the Alien. That was Warwick in that scene.
They're bringing back Alf, you know.
Good.
What? Rebooting it. Yeah.
It's needed. Ooh. But the cats will get eaten.
Yeah.
That's a good series. I like that.
Well.
But when I was a kid, it was good. But genuinely, it's one of the best designs out there. And I'm glad that no one else has now ripped it off. It's stuck to that. It worked and it was great. And think, cost effective, it was probably just a black suit, people inside crawling around with things in their mouth. Pretty good.
It's also worth noting, throughout the whole of the film, it's all set at night. So you don't really see much of the silhouette of the character.
Yeah.
Only in sort of the final scene when they're deciding to like blow them smithereens with fireworks, but the main focus still is just on the teeth, and that's what you take away from the whole film. And it's beautiful.
The fur on the creatures doesn't reflect light.
No.
It's pure black.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them just so otherworldly. But it's not just the look of them, it's the noise they make as
well.
Yeah. I love that shriek they make because it doesn't sound biological, it sounds digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It sounds kind of like lasers going off as well as screams. It's very, very odd.
That's what I love, when you don't associate that sound with what you see. That's good. That's more scary for me.
Mm.
I'm not going to try and do the noise. I'm sorry.
Go on.
If you like the people that do good impressions, Michael Winslow.
Where could you hear more from Michael Winslow?
Jesus Christ.
Well, Police Academy is his strongest, but if you want to hear more stories about his stand-up tour, markandme.com.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
He's good at doing noises.
There's a theme here.
I am sensing the theme. But also on the practical effects, I love some of when the characters get mauled, especially when Hi-Hats, the gangster, when he gets his face eaten, and you're seeing kind of like parts of his skull and his eyeballs.
Yeah.
And it's like really old school 80s type practical effects, mm-hmm. like John Carpenter style.
You know,
practical.
I was sitting there spaffing at that.
Big
like
time.
Unbelievable.
You even did the action of spaffing.
The wanky,
that's
wanky action.
Spaff. But yeah, that's how you spaff, Gem.
Thank you. I'll remember it for homework.
But yes, that sort of stuff we don't see enough of in films in the world, but the Brits do it well. When you get the Shaun of the Dead, when you get American Werewolf in London, all these sorts of films, they always take detail on making it look these graphic, horrible, gritty practical effects, which I always bang on about, but we need more of it.
And the truth of it is, necessity is the mother of invention. Sometimes we just can't afford to go for the big, expensive CGI in this country, so we have to do things practically because it's cheaper, and then it looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it looks timeless. You'll watch it in 20 years, it won't look dated. You watch The Matrix now, and it looks dated. You watch Lord of the Rings, it looks dated.
Yeah.
Practical the way, all the way.
But remember, you don't really need to watch Lord of the Rings.
When we make Mac and Me 2, I'm being serious now, we'll make sure we use practical effects when we're doing all of the special stuff.
Fabulous.
Can't wait for that.
It's going to be amazing. Let's talk about Cornish's direction for a minute. You would never think this was a debut.
No.
Not at all.
It's absolutely flawless. It's so fluid, so crisp. One of my favourite shots is, it's when Moses is about to launch his final attack on the aliens, and it's before he jumps out of that room, and the other lad, he fires off the two rockets, and they're firing directly towards the camera. They then fly past the camera, and then out comes Boyega sort of jumping out, and then he starts vaulting over all the aliens. It's a brilliant little bit of filmmaking.
Especially in slow motion, because everything, including explosions, looks good in slow motion.
Definitely. Ask Michael Bay about that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But and Zack let's Snyder. Be honest. Oh, fucking hell. But the thing is, the budget wasn't that big. You know what I mean? Not a lot. And that's why he's done so well. That's why we love the Alien so much, because that wouldn't have cost a lot. There's no CGI. It suits. It's practical.
Another great scene, another brilliant bit of direction, is when they'd let off some more fireworks in the hall of the block, and then they're sort of crawling or walking through the smoke that remains in that tight space. They're not knowing where the aliens are and all that kind of stuff. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was beautifully directed.
Unbelievable.
I loved how the tension was ramped up. When we see John Boyega's character Moses, he's got the sword in his hand. He's about to strike the alien that's facing right towards him. Mm. But the sword gets stuck in the wall. And so you genuinely think, oh my God, he's actually going to die. But not so.
What I'm liking about this rewatch is it's a film that not many people know about. We've not picked something that's globally everyone's seen. I know we're going to see a lot of tweets from people now saying, just went and bought it. You see how many people go and buy stuff we say.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
On Amazon. or Zavvi.com. But I'm looking forward to seeing it, because a lot of people are going to be like, never heard of it, went to check it out, unbelievable. Yeah. You know it is.
Yeah, because it got great reviews when it came out, but it didn't do much at the box office. No. If memory serves, I think the budget was $8 million, and it made $4 million at the box office, which is shit, really.
That's not fair.
Because it's a great film. But it happens sometimes. Look at when Scott Pilgrim bombed.
Yeah.
There are films that are like this, that are kind of out there. They don't fit neatly into any particular box, that don't catch fire at the box office, mm-hmm. but then tend to do well as cult films on DVD, Blu-ray, etc.
The Room.
Obviously.
Clearly. There we go. Pioneer.
Shall we score it?
Go on then.
Gemma, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a sci-fi-tastic. Ugh, I hate myself just saying that. 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Mark. And fun.
I think it's all 8s today. I know it's a bit like, but it was great. I enjoyed it. It's fun. It's a film you watch again and you'll appreciate more and more. 8 out of 10.
I can't disagree with anything you say. I'm giving it an 8 as well, which gives it a skip to the end. 8 out of 10.
Super duper.
Whose turn is it to pick the next rewatch?
It's mine.
Ooh, what you got?
We're going to go back far. We're going to go back to the 50s.
What?
Which is very, very old for us.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of extras on The Room and The Disaster Artist, and we always talk about James Dean, and I don't know much of his work. I'm ignorant. I do a podcast, which is pretty successful with you two, and I don't know anything about this actor, so I think it's time we watch Rebel Without a Cause.
Wow. It's time for the third round of our latest quiz, Trailer Trash, and it's Gemma versus Mark.
The Titans,
yes. But they're not playing for anything really other than glory pride. And pride,
I mean, you know, just showing up, really.
Yeah, playing to not be the worst, effectively, because I've already won.
Do you know who hasn't won? Us, because we've ran out of Brother's Cider right now. It's our last can. I'm not happy. If you're listening, send us some more.
Please do.
And we'll also inbox you on Twitter. But we do definitely need some more Brother's Cider.
Oh, God.
We do.
It's like the fuel to our lives.
It is. Sorry to just, you know, go in there. But
No.
It
was the right thing to do at the right time.
Thank you for bringing like awareness.
Like Brothers on a summer's day.
Absolutely. We should be in the advert, shouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
We
should.
So the way this game works is I've gone and viewed 7 different movie trailers on YouTube, and I've then trawled through the comments sections to find interesting, amusing, however you decide to call them, comments for those particular trailers. For each one, you've got 3 comments. I'm going to read out the first one, and then you have to shout out your name if you think you know it, and then you tell me what your answer is. If you get it right after the first comment, you get 3 points. If you shout out and you get it wrong, you're locked out, and the other person gets a free shot. If I have to go to the second comment and one of you gets it right, you get 2 points. And if I go to the third, the easiest comment, and one of you gets it right, you get 1 point.
Right.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes, it does, for the time being.
Got it, yeah. We've done 2 rounds, so I'm quite happy, yeah.
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 I've been saying it as if I'm telling you how to do it, but it's really for the listeners.
I'm with you, Ben.
It's kind of like a behind-the-scenes type thing that we didn't necessarily need to draw attention to, but we have now, so we've just got to sit
The penny's dropped, I know exactly what we're going to do. Thanks for that.
Sly boots.
Are you ready for the first one?
No.
Well, you're going to have it anyway.
Come on, we'll try.
Yep. It's not a team effort here. No. I'm taking you down.
So remember, you shout out your name, your own name.
I know my name. Do you know your own name, Mark?
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
Let's
do this.
So here's comment number one for film number one. I understand this was an old movie, but it's extremely perverse and it over-sexualizes teenagers. How are we going to get rid of sexual offenders if we keep glorifying perverts?
Gemma.
Go on.
Is it Porky's?
No, it's not. And you are locked the fuck out. So, Mark, do you want to have a free shot now to get the 3 points, or do you want the second clue? Gemma can't answer, by the way.
I kind of want to risk it.
Just yeah. do it.
Is it kids?
It's not kids.
Oh, but we're both back in for the second. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, back in the game.
Yeah.
So here is comment number two. I hate when my parents disturb me when I'm masturbating.
Gemma. American Pie?
It is American Pie!
Stifler's best work.
It is 2 points for Gemma. So that clue there, Gemma jumped in at the end. I hate when my parents disturb me when I'm masturbating. And then
sounded too real to me.
The third comment, Mark, you'd have approved of this one. The only one who got a career from this movie was Stifler.
Yes. The Stiffmeister. That's amazing.
So Gemma has 2 points.
That's all right.
Are you ready for the first comment from the second film?
Yes.
Yeah.
This came out in 1994. I wasn't even born then. It's so old.
Mark.
Oh, you're gonna have a punt. Go on.
Pulp Fiction.
Incorrect.
Oh!
It did come out in 1994, did, you're yeah. right, but you are locked out. So, Gemma.
Fuck it.
Do you want to have a shot for
Go
three?
On. Go on.
Sorry, for the listeners who didn't see that, Mark said, fuck it. I really can't. Like, fuck it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, come on, because I just helped you.
Or I can give you the second one and you get a free shot. For 2 points, up to you.
Oh, I'm trying to think of all the films. Like, 94 was a good year, wasn't mm-hmm. it, for films? I can't remember. Let's
Ben's
go for...
favourite film of all time that year.
Oh, hang on.
Forrest Gump.
No, come on, let's go clue number two. I'm too risky.
Clue number two. Bearing in mind, you don't need to jump in. You can let me finish it, because Mark can't go anyway.
Go ahead.
What? This movie has the highest IMDb rating. I won't even give it 0.0000000001 out of 10 for this movie. It looks like a gay story.
Is it The Shawshank Redemption?
It is, yeah.
She didn't shout her name.
Didn't need to. Know, you were locked yeah. out. Yeah. Don't start playing that.
No. Desperate already.
And clue number three would have been, nah, Prison Break's better.
Got a point. We should do The Shawshank one day. I always think to bring it, but I can't be arsed. It's 3 hours.
Oh, I know.
I know it's great, but... Yeah,
it's like The Green Mile. Yeah. I mean, great film, but 3 hours.
Yeah.
No.
Marky Mark, you need to start taking some chances
will.
Now.
I'm doing it for the listeners. So they're like, oh, Gemma's got it in the bag, and then boom!
So, comment number one from film number three. Does this look like a $100 million movie? I guess the producers use most of the budget for coke and hookers.
Sounds like my birthday party.
Nope, I'm
yes,
not risking
I wouldn't,
it.
I wouldn't if
no,
I
were. I've come too quick, far too often.
Okay.
I know.
Do you want the second one?
Yes, please.
Worst superhero film ever made. Worse than Batman and Robin, worse than Fantastic Four, worse than Green Lantern, and worse than Ghost Rider. So what you've got to ask yourself is, what shit superhero film did I not just say?
Can you repeat the question?
I can. Yeah. Bearing in mind, you can jump in at any time, yeah. either of you.
Okay.
Worst superhero film ever made. Worse than Batman and Robin, worse than Fantastic Four, worse than Green Lantern, and worse than Ghost Rider.
Gemma?
Gemma went first.
Is it Justice League?
It is not.
Oh,
you are locked out. So, Mark, you can have a go for 2 points, which you probably should, or I can give you the third clue for 1 point.
Batman Forever.
Incorrect.
Oh!
I thought you had it!
It means you're both back in the game for the third and final comment. A shy girl who's very weak turning into a
Mark.
Strong... Yes?
Catwoman.
Correct.
Yes!
1 point for Mark. So the full comment was, a shy girl who's very weak turning into a strong badass vigilante is perfect.
That's terrible.
Purr like a cat, you see? See what he did?
I get it now. Get it? I get it. I get it now.
Do you understand? Yeah? Wordplay.
Wow. Yeah. I nearly did it.
That's the whiskers. That's not even relevant.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
That's the whiskers.
Yeah, that's
Should
the
we
whiskers.
Get that going?
Yeah.
Should we try and make that's the whiskers yes. happen?
Welcome to Skip the End, the Whiskers of Podcasts.
It's like the Mutt's Nuts, but it's just that's the whiskers.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Are we ready for comment number one from film number four?
Yes.
Okay.
They're the original Suicide Squad.
Gemma?
Oh, are you really going to have a little punt?
Why not?
Go on.
Is it Avengers Assemble?
Incorrect.
Ah, balls.
Oh dear, oh dear. Mark, so you can have a go for 3 points. Bearing in mind the scores at the moment are 4-1 in Gemma's favour. So you can have a go for three, or you can wait and have a free shot at the two-pointer.
Mark. Watchmen.
Incorrect.
Oh!
Okay, you're both back in the game for comment number two. I'm typically a war movie lover, but this one, I almost fell asleep whilst watching it. I didn't get it. What's the point of this film anyway?
Jesus.
Gemma?
Go on, Gemma.
Inglourious Basterds.
It is Inglourious Basterds! Another 2 points for Pooch. Well done. And then comment number three would have been, I love this movie, but it just feels like Tarantino is stroking his dong.
That should have been on the cover.
Relatable.
That's amazing. That's actually quite good, though, because on the next episode, we are masturbating over Tarantino.
Plenty of dong will be stroked.
Nothing is accidental. No. Skip to the end.
No.
Although that was. Are we ready for clue number one for film number five?
Yes, I need to start getting the points.
Yeah, you're 6-1 behind.
That's all right. I can still do it.
You need to get into it. This next comment, I'm going to read word for word, verbatim, the way it was written in the comment, okay?
I can't wait for this.
So that's what verbatim means. Yeah. Nice.
Well done.
Smart dialogues, good plot, the little that makes the delayed much laughter. The very hot hair Lopez would prefer another course in place, but do not mind wrestling and very good.
Is that like Google Translate?
Fucking hell.
Wow.
Do you want to hear it again?
Yes. Please.
Smart dialogues, good plot, the little that makes the delayed much laughter. The very hot hair Lopez would prefer another course in place, but do not mind wrestling and very good. Anyone
Mark.
Can have a punt? Oh, Mark, go on.
Nacho Libre.
Incorrect. Oh! Oh, I thought one of you might get it from that.
Yeah.
Honestly, truly. You'll kick yourself. Gemma, do you want to go for three or do you want to hear the second clue?
Go for it, please.
I'm going to go for it. All right, Lisa. The wrestler?
Incorrect. Oh. Yeah. Incorrect. The word wrestling was in the clue. I'm not that dumb.
I know.
Oh, that's what we both took for
it. Yeah, we
did. Bloody hell.
Idiot. All right, so you're back in the game for comment number two.
Right.
This fucking guy will be Bruce Wayne. Fuck life.
Gemma.
Yep.
Is it Jiggly?
It is Jiggly.
Oh, what?
Another 2 points. See, the clue in the first one was Lopez. I mentioned Lopez.
I thought that was a red herring.
But she's not Lopez. She's Jay from the block.
Jay from the block.
What's her name?
Jenny from the block.
I mean, you were halfway there.
Yeah.
So Gemma gets the 2 points. The third comment would have been, the writing is terrible. It's turkey time. Gobble, gobble. What the hell?
Nice.
You'd have got it from that.
I can't win now.
No, but I think that ship sailed a while ago, mate.
It's taking the part that matters.
Come on, I kind of want you to have more than 1 point, but at the same time, I want to beat your ass.
Okay. So this is comment number one for film number six. Great movie, but shit, I wanted to kill myself after watching it.
Gemma?
Go on.
Forrest Gump?
If the comment was written by me, that would have been the right answer, but no, you're locked out.
Sod.
Mark, do you want to have a go for three or hear the next one?
Leave her locked out and I'll go for 2 points.
Okay.
You bitch.
I didn't know Aunt May was a pole dancer. Gemma knows it.
I know it.
The wrestler.
It is the wrestler. Well done, Mark. 2 points for you.
She looks hot in that age.
She does indeed. Yeah,
really nice.
She's a very pretty lady.
Not just good personality. It shines through on screen.
Of course, that's what you meant, yeah. And the third comment was, Rourke got hoes not winning the Oscar. Fuck that liberal dick, Sean Penn.
Wow. Bloody hell.
But what did he really mean?
Yeah.
So going into the final one, Mark, as he's already said, can't win. It's 8-3 to Gemma. But if you get it right on the three-pointer, that's 8-6, which
that's
is respectable.
Yeah,
that's
you know?
Respectable.
All right. So, comment number one for film number seven. And here I was thinking that Ghostbusters would be the shittiest comedy of 2016.
Fuck it, Mark.
Go on, Mark.
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Sadly not, no. It is not. You are locked out. So, Gemma, do you want to have a go for three or do you want to hear the next one?
Oh, let's have a go. Right. I've got to remember everything that came out 2016 and I can't remember. Sex tape.
Incorrect, but that is shit. So you are on the right line.
Is just an abortion.
Okay. You are both back in the game for comment number two. $4 million budget, $3.99 million went to Johnny Depp, apparently.
Gemma.
Yep.
Mordecai?
Incorrect. Oh. You are locked out, Mark. Do you want to have a punt or do you want to hear the third one?
I'll take a guess. Yoga hoses.
It is yoga hoses. That's 2 points for Mark. Well done. And the third and final comment would have been, what a dog shit movie this is. Who keeps giving this guy money? There was a time I supported Kevin Smith, but now he seems he's content with wanking into a camera and making you pay for it.
He's an angry guy. From Ben.
Yeah.
So I lost.
You lost. So Gemma scored 8, you scored 5. But it was more competitive than it seemed like it was going to be at the start.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had
so
fun.
Well done. Yes.
And that's what taking part matters.
And winning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're all winners.
More me than you two, because I actually would.
Well done, Ben.
Thanks.
Well done.
We've got another game lined up for next time round, have we?
Yes, but we're not going to reveal anything until the next episode. But it's good, it's challenging, and fuck me, it's exciting.
Jeez.
It's a good sales job. Well done.
Brilliant. Stick around for that in 2 weeks' time.
It's time for Skip to the Recommend, that point of the show where we bring you our pop culture recommendations of the week. It can be something old, it can be something new, but it's something we're enjoying right now, and we want you to enjoy it too. Yes.
Never change that, ever.
I never will.
I noticed that Gemma keeps the same one for masturbate as well, word for word.
Because it's easy to remember.
It's good.
Yeah.
Don't change it if it already works.
Yeah, and you've got competition time.
Yeah, so. Three words.
We're lazy, effectively. Yeah.
It's all dawning on us that we can't be asked. But yeah, skip to recommend. I'm looking forward to it this
Me
time.
Too. What have you got, Mark?
I've got a film.
Oh,
good.
It's called Summer of 84. And it's fucking brilliant.
I've never heard of it. Tell me more.
It's by the makers of Turbo Kid, their brand new release.
Oh, yes!
It came out this week. It's on Apple Films. It's £6 to download it, which is really worth it. Every penny. But you can also rent it for like £3 or keep it for £6. It's about a group of kids that suspect that the police officer living next door is basically a mass serial killer. And it's set on the tones of Stranger Things, Goonies, Super 8, Stand By Me, The Burbs. It's 80s Simps all the way through. You've seen Turbo Kid.
They've took it
to the next level. It is basically Stranger Things, but they've done it in their way. It's suspense throughout, one of the best films I've seen, and the child actors, like Corey Feldman, former child actor, are absolutely superb. They're these names, like in It, that you didn't know about, these new actors, and it's fucking brilliant. The Simps they use, you'd think you're watching a John Carpenter film. They get so much accuracy where the kids' bedrooms have got the retro 80s posters. It feels like you're watching Stranger Things, but it's done well. The brains behind Turbo Kid are phenomenal. That film is absolutely awesome. Three directors all working on one film. I think.
Where could you find out more about that?
Well, there's a great episode of Mark and Me where I actually interview all three in one go. So check that out. But these three have come back. It's now at the film festivals and it's doing very well. It's winning some awards.
Yeah.
It's a great, great film. And Gemma, when I was watching it last night, I was genuinely thinking, this is what you'll love. You'll absolutely love everything about it. The nostalgia feel is done so well because everyone's jumping on the bandwagon right now doing the Stranger Things.
Yeah, big time.
But this is done with respect. Imagine a Stephen King Stranger Things with Super 8. That's what you get. Mix it all together and you get Summer of 84. One of the best films I've seen this year. A really good film. Bring it to people's attention and that's what I've done.
Well, you had me at Stranger Things.
There you go.
So I shall check that out indeed.
On Apple. £6.
I like the... I like the connection with Apple.
Yep.
Obviously, as we had a character called Apple in Turbo Kid. But I'm such a huge fan of that film, and I love the way how they created that 80s, 90s-esque world. And I don't doubt it for a second that they've achieved it with this film. So I look forward to watching this.
And the soundtrack could easily be a recommend itself. It's
really?
That good.
Fantastic.
It's brilliant. It's nice, isn't it, when you discover a new film that no one else has seen, and you're just like, oh, I'll give this a go. Oh, fuck, this is awesome.
It's like I've literally never heard of it, let alone seen it.
Yep, it only just came out last week.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Give it a go.
Pooch, what have you got?
I've gone for a documentary this time around. It's currently streaming on Netflix. That's Netflix.
Don't bother. They've not given in now, so fuck them.
I'm going to keep it going.
It's only £6 a month.
We will get there eventually.
I love Netflix. Don't fuck them.
So my pick is a documentary. It's called Tower.
Ooh.
Oh, I've seen it. I've just not pushed the button. I keep seeing it pop up.
Well, I might help you push the button on this case. So it's directed by a chap called Keith Maitland, and it's a different kind of documentary. It's an animation, a testimony, and archival footage combined to tell the story of what happened on August the 1st, 1966. For those of you who don't know what that date means, on this day, a gunman opened fire from the University of Texas clock tower and killed 16 people.
Yowzers.
Exactly. It was a horrible and terrible tragedy that unfolded, especially when no one knew exactly what was happening at the time. You know, and you wouldn't, because you wouldn't be able to see a sniper very high up in the sky. But it also displayed human courage amongst one person's act of terror. So the documentary itself, it's displayed in a way where it's quite engaging. So rather than have talking heads and you see recreations, animation is interspliced with these with this footage. And the use of colours also acts as a timeline as to what's happening in that day. So when we're introduced to new characters, you have really bright, vivid, glorious colours onto the screen. But as they come nearer to the tragedy, that colour drains from the screen and we watch it all in black and white. So it's quite a stark contrast as to what's happening. And we see the characters interweaving with the terror attack, and we see these tones shift dramatically from left, right, and centre. And the intersplicing of the news footage with the talking heads creates that massive emotional gut punch as you're watching the documentary. It's only 80 minutes. It's not a long one. However, it is going to make you cry. It is going to make you feel things. And it's the whole relationship with gun laws in America. And, you know, without getting too political, you realise just how many lives can change dramatically through the course of one person's action with the use of these guns. It was a terrible tragedy back then. And thankfully, with the documentary, they really don't have or shed a lot of time on the gunman, whose name I'm not going to mention because it's not worth it. What this documentary does beautifully is they focus on every single victim, be it if it's just a 10-second mention or if it's the whole hour. they absolutely dedicate this whole documentary to these wonderful human beings and the victims that had their lives taken by this monster on that terrible day. But the documentary itself completely floored me. It is done beautifully. It's done respectfully. I think you guys would really enjoy it, and I really hope the listeners would too.
I will check it out. I will put it on the long list of Netflix documentaries that I really want to see and haven't yet seen, like Wild Wild Country and The Staircase.
Yes.
What's the other one about the bomber with the pizza delivery bomber?
That's Evil Genius.
Evil Genius. I still haven't watched that.
That's really
good. So many I want to get involved in.
Netflix is a source of wonderful documentaries out there, and the great thing is there's so much range of subjects that they cover at the moment. It is really a great, great catalogue of things to check out.
I think we've talked about this before, that Netflix kind of lets itself down sometimes because it doesn't advertise its wares enough.
No.
Very true. I literally found this one day just flicking through.
Yeah.
I thought the thumbnail looked really good. I liked the description, and I was ready.
The thing is, when Annihilation came out, which was our big review, a big exclusive straight to Netflix, I had to search for it. Yeah. It didn't
Are
come
you
up.
Kidding
they
me?
Should have it at the top. Annihilation. Yeah. Brand new movie from the great minds that brought you this. And exactly. None of it.
Stop showing me fucking Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
And show me Annihilation and Better Call Saul and great documentaries.
I haven't watched Better Call Saul yet.
Get involved, dude.
They should totally like break up all the genres, all the categories, and then have sort of like the hits or the ones that the recommendations.
Yeah.
That'd make it a heck of a lot easier for people to discover these great shows.
I found a sweet little hack online the other day. Someone had written on a website. They've basically given you the little codes that Netflix uses to denote all its different categories. So you know when you go onto Netflix, you're stuck with whatever categories it decides to show you, and they're usually mental. This gives you a code you can put in. So you put in netflix.com, blah, blah, slash this, and then 23145, which will be romantic comedies. 23146 will be horrors. And then it just brings up those.
Oh.
It's no good on the TV apps, but if you're watching it on your computer, it's perfect for actually drilling down on the one particular thing you want to
see.
Yeah.
What computer would you watch it on if you are at home?
I would watch it on my very fancy Dell laptop.
Dell?
That's Dell.
I think sometimes that's good, but you do need to sometimes take it to like an LG or Sony TV. Because
yes,
then you're going to get
true.
The full benefit of a full 4K picture.
Yeah. Also, though, if you're traveling, then you can also watch it on your phone, which, of course, could be an Apple iPhone or maybe a Samsung.
Yes.
Definitely a Samsung.
Or a Nokia.
Well, if you want to play Snake.
I never completed Snake.
I never owned a Nokia.
Oh.
I think I'm the only person of our age group that never owned a Nokia.
Wow.
Because they always looked shit to me.
That's his Christmas present. We'll get him a 3210. Or the Matrix one, the 7110.
Oh, yes. The ones that you just press a button,
rad.
It just flips out.
Yeah.
So cool.
Ben's got a recommendation, and I don't think it's going to be a Nokia.
No, it's not. No, yeah, it's Snake 2.
That's a great game.
For the third show in a row, I'm going with a TV show, and it's a show called Succession.
Okay.
Have either of you heard of it?
No,
but I've heard it's been very successful.
Oh my God, stop.
He's a dork.
Bloody hell. Go on, Ben, continue.
So it's a TV show about the fictional Roy family, who are a media dynasty in the mould of the Murdochs. They're kind of loosely based on Rupert Murdoch and his horrible children. The head of the family, Logan Roy, he's getting old and he's starting to lose his mind. So his four adult children start to question if it's time to succeed him as the boss of the company, hence the name Succession. And the kids are Kendall, who's the drug addict looking for his father's respect. There's Roman, the playboy who can't take anything seriously. There's Connor, the layabout who lives off his father's wealth. And then there's Shiv, who is the youngest Roy child who struck out on her own to work in politics. They're all utterly dysfunctional and all driven by self-interest. The show is just chock full of secret deals and double crosses between the siblings. One minute they're professing their love of one another, the next minute they're fucking each other over royally. It's absolutely delightful. All the characters are distinctly unlikable. They've made no effort to make this a lovely, happy, friendly show. They're all pigs, but you can't help but warm to them because of the way they're played. It's the actors behind them that make them so compelling. The best characters for me are undoubtedly Roman, who is played with sleazy glee by Kieran Culkin, Macaulay Culkin's little brother.
I love that guy.
Kieran Culkin rules. He is so good in everything. And as this douchey playboy who treats people like shit, throws his money around, can't get serious for a second, he's absolutely brilliant. It's one of the best bits of casting I've seen.
I love him.
He's amazing. And then the other character I adore is Shiv's fiancé, Tom, who is played by Matthew McFadyen. It might be my favourite performance on TV right now.
Wow.
He's good-hearted but dim-witted. He's kind of come into this family who are above him and better than him and richer than him, and he's trying his best to fit in, but he's always flustered, and he's essentially the comic relief of this show. But Matthew McFadyen is just so fucking brilliant at doing it, you fall in love with him immediately. This is the thing that might hook a few people in. The show was created by Jesse Armstrong, who is the co-creator of Peep Show.
Yes.
And also has written for shows like The Thick of It and Veep. So it has the cynical, nasty streak of those shows. But it's not an outright comedy. It's more of a drama. But it has a very dark, satirical streak to it too. If you like things like that, or if you like the show Billions, have either of you ever watched Billions?
I haven't.
No, I think it's great.
Yeah, people love that. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I can see that it's a very similar sort of thing. If you like Billions, I think you'll like Succession. It's a great pitch black satire of the media elite. It's an HBO show, an American show, but it is available here. The whole season you can watch now on Sky Atlantic. There's only been one season, 10 episodes, I believe. And yeah, they're absolutely fantastic. I highly, highly recommend it. Great fun.
Honestly, as you were talking about sort of the whole premise of the show, I was thinking originally it was going to be like almost Arrested Development-like, like a comedy. But now you're saying it's actually quite dark. And Jesse Armstrong, man.
Jesse Armstrong rules.
My God.
And the dad of the clan, Logan Roy, is played by Brian Cox. I don't mean the kind of indie rock physicist. Oh, I mean the great Scottish actor, Brian Cox, and he brings such gravitas to
the role.
Fantastic.
I'm so on board.
It's fucking brilliant. And the finale kicks you in the dick. It fucking puts you on your ass, the finale.
And are we getting so season good. 2 next year?
Yes, we are indeed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. I will surely be checking it out.
It's, do you know what? Because I've had the last week off work. Yeah. I took a week's annual leave. Wasn't going anywhere. I just had a staycation.
Yeah.
Because I've had so much TV I wanted to catch up on. And I've been wanting to watch this Succession for a while. And I watched it and it just thoroughly blew me away. I was just so delighted. And another show I watched is an extra one for you. It's a show on Amazon Prime called Lodge 49. About a guy played by dad's son. Wyatt Russell.
That's
our brother. Yeah. Technically our brother, yeah.
Can he not? Because he's kind of a hottie.
And he's basically this layabout surfer dude who manages to get his way into this kind of, it's a lodge, but it's like the Masons. It's just basically a drinking club for a load of people. And it's him trying to find his way through life. And he plays it. He's like, you know the dude?
Yeah.
The dude in...
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. He's like a young version of the dude.
Okay.
So there's an extra one for you. Watch Lodge 49 as well.
Wow.
On Amazon Prime.
Also listen to the new Alice in Chains album. It's fucking ace, honestly. Return to form. Brilliant. Yeah.
It's got a weird name, isn't it? Like Foggy Rain or something.
No, that's Travis.
I'm sure it is. It's like Rainier Fog.
Why is it always rain on me?
That's not it.
Nope.
What have we got from social media? Because I saw so many this time around. It's probably one of our most busiest times.
We had loads. Don't say most busiest.
Oh, sorry.
Grammatically incorrect. On Instagram.
Disgust me, Mark.
I'm furious. On Instagram, we've got Alex Salt, a.k.a. Salty. I say that because he's got a double A. Salty. He said, "The League on Netflix is incredible. It's a stupid comedy about a group of mates in an NFL fantasy league. It's funny as hell." Have either of you watched The League?
No, yeah. But I've heard great things.
It's fucking brilliant. So it's created by a guy whose name I've forgotten, but he used to be a writer for Seinfeld, and he's also a writer for Curb Your Enthusiasm. Jeff Schaefer, that's his
Sold.
Name. Sold. Yeah, and the show has that same lack of empathy that those two shows have. It's just a bunch of mates fucking each over royally. It's hilarious, and it is. All 7 seasons are on Netflix now.
Sounds ace.
It is ace. Kame, or I don't, it's either Kame or Kame, K-A-M-E.
Oh, I said he was on the last episode. I just said Kame.
I'm going to say Kame.
Yeah.
Just okay.
Kame.
That's all the plays he's been watching.
Yeah. So that's at yeah. So that's at Kame 0138. He says, "I'm reading I Want My MTV by Craig Marks and Rob Tannenbaum. It's amazing to read stories about the shit that made me who I was, and it makes me feel like I'm really fucking old."
Oh.
So it's about the birth of MTV in the 80s and all those big famous
when they actually
music
used
videos.
To, like play music.
Yeah, rather than Jersey fucking Shore.
Yeah.
Wait, fuck, does anyone remember what the first video was played on MTV?
Oh shit, isn't it like Dire Straits?
Yep, Money for Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well remembered.
Thank you.
I'm going to ring you if I ever get on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
What's
it on my voice? Yeah.
If you ring me for phone a friend, I'll just send you some voicemail.
Yeah. Or you'll give me the wrong answer. The next voice you're going to hear is Mark. Yeah, it's B. You sure? Yeah, lost everything.
On Facebook, Clive Bullock has said, "Thoroughly recommend the Death of Superman animated movie. The animation's superb and it portrays the story much better than Batman versus Superman ever did."
Yeah.
He's not wrong. I've seen it. It is excellent.
Wow. That's literally just come out.
Yeah, it's very new, but it's very good.
Okay.
Get involved. Carla Koenig at Koenig71 on Twitter has said, "Crazy Rich Asians is hilarious."
I'm so looking forward to seeing this.
Yeah, I assume that Carla is from the US. It doesn't come out here until next month, but all the reviews say it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Say it's really funny, and it's killing it at the box office at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, this week, when The Happy Time Murders came out, it died a death because Crazy Rich Asians is taking all the money.
Good.
Yeah.
And that's why we changed our fucking review.
Yeah. On Instagram, James Bottrill, a.k.a. Granny Bizzle, has said, I'm hooked on Dream Gun Film Reads, a podcast which is all at once a live performance, an homage, a parody, and a send-up of famous films, and it's flipping hilarious with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
I want one of our recommendations to be, hi, I'm Ian, and I'm hooked on cocaine, or something like that, and they just pour their heart out about being a drug addict.
Oh, my God!
We get those every week, I just choose not to read them.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Scott Tucker at S77Tux can heartily recommend Save Me, written by and starring Lenny James. Great cast, strong storyline, and good direction from Nick Murphy. Mm. Did any of you watch this? I think it was on ITV, maybe?
No, I've heard good things.
It's,
but...
I think it's on sort of Now TV as a box set. You can go and watch the series that's been shown, but no, I've not seen it.
And the great thing is, when Scott put this out there, the director, Nick Murphy, then replied back saying, thanks all, I hope you like it, skip to the end.
Wow. Yeah. We get a lot of famous people with blue ticks replying and liking.
Yeah, yeah. So, good. Nick, we will check that out for you, buddy boy.
I won't.
Mark won't. Don't take that personally. No. He never does.
No, at least I'm honest.
Yeah. On Facebook, Dave Berry, NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4, an awesome wrestling show with something for everyone. Genuinely the best all-round wrestling event I've watched in a long time. How great was it, Mark?
I'm a bit sour about it because I've been for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So to know I wasn't there this year, it's a bit depressing if I'm honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I missed it, but by God, it shat all over the main product.
Yeah, SummerSlam wasn't great, but NXT Brooklyn was unreal.
They just get it right every single time. When they come back over here in a few months, we'll take you, Pooch. Honestly, a skip trip, because you'll be obsessed. You'll be like, this is fucking amazing.
Oh my God, you could be like my two dads.
That's a bit weird.
You look older than us though, Gemma. I don't know how it would work.
Never!
But yeah, you would love it, because they're just killing it every time.
Gargano amazing. Versus Ciampa is the best wrestling feud I've seen since Vince McMahon versus Stone Cold Steve Austin 20 years ago.
Are you kidding me? I'm obsessed not kidding you. With that feud.
Or Doink and Dink.
That was pretty good. To be fair.
That was the worst. But yeah, then they get it right every single time.
Yeah.
Indeed they do. Sorry, You're In My Seat podcast at SYIMS_podcast has said, read Sleeping Beauties by Stephen King and I loved it. Now, Mark, you're our resident Stephen King fan. Have you read that one?
I bought it because it was only £10 in W.H. Smith's and it has an exclusive cover.
Ooh.
But he wrote it with his son, not Joe, the other son, Owen.
Yeah.
It sounds very interesting. Mm. It's about a world, I think, where there's no women that exist or something.
Sounds good, sign me up.
Women are... dirty. But yeah, I ridiculous. Want to read it, but it's in the pile. Like, you know what it's like. Mm-hmm. There's too much to do.
You'll get to it in about 4 years.
Oh, if so that. I've got to learn to read first. I mean, what's that say? Mark, that says Stephen King. All right.
I'm sure she's very good.
Oh, burn. On Facebook, Jai Ofold has said, I've been on a nostalgia kick with some 80s TV. Series 9 of Grange Hill. Ziggy Greaves has just arrived from Liverpool. Imelda Davis is shoving fiberglass down people's macs. And Zamo is getting out of his face on drugs. Always remember, just say no.
I really want to go to Liverpool. I've never been out in Liverpool. I'm going to completely go.
It's a great city, it's man, wonderful. For going out in.
Yeah. I really want to go there. And I really want to go on the Beatles tour.
Yes,
you can
oh
go
my God,
to like
definitely.
Where the,
I've, been,
the
I've been to the Cavern Club.
Yeah.
I really want to do it.
It's dingy.
Oh, but I just want to do it.
As the name would suggest.
I want to get married in there. That would be cool.
That'd be
the Beatles wedding.
Weird. It'd be a bigamist as well. I didn't love Grange Hill as a kid. I was more of a Biker Grove man.
I loved Biker Grove.
Yeah.
Spooky.
I'm Jeff Mann. Hey.
How are you?
When PJ
hey, Biker Grove.
When PJ got his eyes shot, or Duncan, whichever it was.
Yeah. It was PJ.
That scarred me. That was bad. Do you not remember?
Of course
I
do.
Yeah,
he was blind
horrible.
For years.
He screamed, yeah.
I know.
Good times. And then finally, Ben Reed on Twitter, at Dark Breeder, said, listening to the Lord of the Rings BBC radio drama that first aired in 1981. It stars Bill Nye and Ian Holm, and it's a must for any Tolkien fan.
You've listened to that again, haven't you, recently?
So, the one good thing about the Lord of the Rings films... are the visuals.
Yeah.
And this is a radio version of Lord of the Rings. So it's taken away the one good thing. Fuck that.
Nah,
I'll pass.
Not for me either, I'm afraid.
But I'm glad that Ben enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Very true.
I'm ashamed that he's named Ben. You're letting the side down, Benny boy.
Yeah. But your name's Ben, so you could come on the episode one day. Things can happen.
That's true. That's
you
how
never
it
know.
Works. Yeah, so. Yeah. Please do keep sending us in your recommendations. You can get us on Twitter at STTEpodcast or facebook.com/skiptotheendpodcast. On Instagram at skiptotheendpodcast or old school email podcast@skiptotheend.co.uk. So that brings us to the end of another episode of the Skip to the End podcast. We're recording this on the Sunday before the bank holiday Monday.
Yeah.
And I've had a week off. So tonight, technically, is like my last night of freedom. Tomorrow I'm off, but you can't enjoy it, can you? You can't enjoy your last day.
It's still technically Monday.
So I'm thinking when you guys leave, I'm going to get pissed up and then go out and start some shit.
Well, that's good.
Do you want to join me?
No.
No?
I'm going to go home and read and just be sensible.
Boring. Gemma?
Yeah, let's do it. Come on.
Gemma's in, Mark. Yeah. Are you sure you don't change your mind?
All right then, fuck
yeah, that's going to start some shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed today.
I've not missed Benny.
Yeah, we were talking about how great he was. Yeah. Fuck you, Benny. Yeah. We don't need you.
That's how you do an episode. Stick to your fucking Star Sailor CD and don't come back.
We don't really mean
no,
it.
No, he'll be back on in a few weeks.
He will indeed. Yeah, we do miss you. It's been a good show.
Yeah,
I am very tired. We've got very serious at points today. It's not
but that's
like us,
good.
Is it?
Yeah. It shows that we can do it when needed and exactly. The time is right.
But we've also been very silly at some points.
That's what it's all about at Skip's End. You don't know what you're going to get, and when you do, it's great.
Indeed.
There you go.
Indeed. Yeah. That could be our
there we, there we bloody go.
Ourselves off a bit more.
Indeed. Let's talk about what's coming up on the next show, though. Gemma, what's our topic?
We're going to be talking about our top three betrayals. So, in layman's terms, think of it as the face-to-heel turns.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Mm. There's a lot to choose from.
There is a lot, and I'm expecting some pretty good answers when we come back.
Well, no
ooh,
pressure.
You're going to get them. You're going to get them. Mark, what's our rewatch?
It is Rebel Without a Cause.
Wow, I'm flabbergasted that you picked this one.
It's actually a remake, Rebel Wilson Without a Cause.
You know what, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yes.
I was like,
did I not realise? Sorry, dude. But yes, we're going back to the 50s, and it is a big one. Yeah. I've heard it's one of the best ever movies made. It inspired Tommy Wiseau to make The Room.
Must be good.
And James Dean, man.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't know what I'm talking about
exactly.
Because I've seen it. And all of us are going in dry, aren't we?
We are indeed.
No
yeah.
lube will be needed next week.
Nope. Yeah. Like chucking a hot dog down a hallway.
All right, Gemma. Gruesome.
That's gross. What?
Spit boy over here.
He didn't hear me say that. So I nearly got away with it. Ben, what's the main review? On.
The main review is going to be Searching unless we change our mind at the last minute.
Yeah.
But it's a film starring John Cho that... It kind of gets my back up in principle because it all seems to have been filmed on like iPhones and computer screens and all that kind of shit. So in principle, I hate it already. But the early reviews say it is very good, so I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
I'll have to go home tonight and search for some reviews in Cinema Times.
Terrible. Ruined it again.
Just don't do it.
Benny, are you free in 2 weeks, pal?
Learn to edit. That's the only thing that keeps me here.
Mark, we're going to have a new game as well, aren't we?
We are. It's going to be a good one. Like, I actually want to tease you a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
It's going to be a team game this time. And it's going to be fucking awesome.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Juice them up, leave them down.
And it's literally heart racing.
Oh,
Tense.
I do like my heart to be raced, so this is right up my alley.
It's going to be like a wigwam and a teepee.
Not this one.
No.
I hate this joke so much.
No.
Find out next week what the joke is.
What, the punchline?
Yes. Yeah. Come back in 2 weeks to know what that means.
Oh my God.
Don't bother.
Stick around.
Make this your last episode. It's not worth sticking with it, anyone. Give up now.
What else have we got? Oh, competitions.
We're going to have competitions, of course. We're going to give away a shit ton of prizes, as per. Gemma, who are we masturbating over?
Oh, only Quentin bloody Tarantino.
Oh, mama.
You know, that upstart.
That's going to be Ben's biggest challenge, I think, in history.
I know, right? Because every week I change my mind on what my favourite Tarantino film is. It's usually whatever the last film of his I saw, unless it's Hateful Eight.
Yeah,
but it gives you
I'll give you a spoiler. It's not that one. That is not going to be my
You've got an excuse now to watch them all again.
Not that I need one, but yes.
You should have took this week off to then watch every Tarantino film.
Maybe I will.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's sick if you're listening at work.
I've got the black lung.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to be wearing a waterproof poncho because I know there is going to be spaff flying everywhere.
No, not here, Gemma.
That's gruesome,
This isn't
Gemma.
The podcast for that sort of talk.
It's a family podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking precautions. I don't know about you guys.
It's disgusting.
Gross. I'm grossed out. Actually, I want to end the show
now. I want to end it now.
Yeah, I'm offended.
You know, love it.
I'm offended.
To be honest, Gemma, the atmosphere has turned rather sour.
Yes.
And you're to blame.
And I'm offended.
Good.
Who do I write to complain?
Me.
Good. I'm going to write a letter. Honestly, I'm disgusted.
I bet you are.
I don't come here to hear about spaff, jizz.
No, none of that.
Man juice. No.
Spit.
Gross.
Cock yogurt. None of that.
No. I don't want to hear about it. Man batter. I don't want to hear about it.
Exactly. See you in 2 weeks.